10.
9.
8.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2. 1.
The following feature presentation is part of the Skywalking Network.
This is what you can look forward to on this king-size episode 471 of Skywalking Through Neverland.
All together now.
Shade shine.
You know what these monks are doing? They're planking.
There's this whole supervillain plot going on backstage involving John Belushi, and Spider-Man is, like, working to stop them.
You can't imagine how silly I feel talking into a rock.
My handsome rescuer and I will get to know each other better. A lot better.
Oh my gosh!
What happened to the PG rating on this show?
Are you ready?
Welcome to Neverland.
Here we go!
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land.
When I first made Star Wars, everybody in Hollywood said, well, this is a movie Disney should have made.
You're more than just fans. You're family.
Best day ever!
Secrets lair.
It's about family, and that's what's so powerful about it.
Hey.
You use a bird to write with. It's called tweeting.
When we visit the world of Disney, we never grow old. It's a Peter Pan, never land that keeps us young in heart.
This is Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you are skywalking through Neverland. I have a good feeling about this.
Hey, Skywalkers, and happy 4th of July week!
Can you tell?
Yes. So do you think Han Solo is feeling his independence when he is thrust to become the next Satab or Satab, depending on what part of the country you're from? Or even as the next savior of Ventuine? Hmm. And what would a Star Wars and Kojak crossover really look like? Well, all these questions and more will be answered. But first, we want to welcome you back to
Skywalking Through Neverland.
I am Richard Woloski, but now everyone please say hello to my sweetie wife, Sarah, who has never looked so cute. Look at you in your 4th of July garb.
Yes, I've got my Captain America First Avenger ears from Disneyland. These are like the greatest ears ever. I love them so much. And I've got my Captain Marvel crowned athletics sports bra on. So I'm feeling very, very, very patriotic.
I didn't expect you to say bra.
It's a sports bra. You can walk around in a sports bra. That's how it's done.
Okay.
It's hot out. We walk around in sports bras. All right, Skywalkers.
It's that kind of a show.
It is.
Yeah, yep. Happy July, everybody.
Well, we are your enthusiastic podcast destination for the many decades of your Star Wars, Disney, Marvel, and pop culture fandom. So it's time for your weekly Wookiee hug and your little sprinkle of pixie dust for our family of Skywalkers. And some of you, some of that family is watching us live right now on our YouTube channel. So if you haven't already, please head over there. Just search Skywalking Through Neverland on YouTube and subscribe, and then click the little bell for notifications. Also, if you're watching right now, hit the little like button because that helps more people see us. So that's all we ask. It's just really fun to do that. So thank you, Skywalkers. And also, I do recommend the YouTube version of the episode if you possibly can, because Richard always adds a lot of awesome video clips to what we're talking about. And especially on these classic Marvel Star Wars comics episodes, you get to see the entire comic as we talk about it.
This is the second Marvel annual. There's a lot of trippy stuff.
Oh,
there's
yes.
A lot of trippy stuff in all of the classic Marvel Star Wars comics, but in this one here, you don't know Chrysalla until you've seen Chrysalla.
Ooh. Yes, and her interesting...
You'll see a lot of Chrysalla.
Interesting outfit that reminds you of Slave Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Slave Leia wore more than what Chrysalla wears in this issue of classic Marvel Star Wars comics.
Or Hutt Slayer Leia. But yes, we all know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. In this episode, Andrew Kilpatrick and Phil Oberholzer of the podcast This Is Getting Graphic will join us to break down the second Marvel Star Wars annual from 1982. And I don't know when we've laughed so hard while doing a classic Marvel Star Wars comics.
Yeah, this was a hard episode to edit because there's like 3 minutes where we're just laughing.
Yeah, and we met these guys at Houston Comic Palooza, where they did a show as part of the podcast program, and they did a commentary on a classic Marvel comic. This one was set in Texas, because we were in Texas, and it was very funny, and we just knew that we would vibe. So, yeah.
Yeah, and congratulations to Andrew and Phil, because this week they are crossing their second year of podcasting.
Whoa, happy anniversary, guys. Or should we say, forp?
They'll know what that means.
Yes.
Now, we are being sponsored by Small World Vacations, and they are a diamond-level Disney vacation planner travel agency that can help you book your trip to a Disney park around the world, or on a Disney cruise, or both. And best of all, this service is free, free of charge. So check it out and tell them Skywalking Through Neverland sent you.
All right, we are recording this episode from Long Beach, California on July 1st, 2024. So Richard, what happened today in Star Wars history?
Well, on this date, July the 1st, 1935, well, the world welcomed little David Prowse. So happy birthday to David Prowse on what would have been his 89th birthday. And we all know David Prowse as the man who is Darth Vader. If you ever got an autograph by David Prowse, he signs it, David Prowse is Darth Vader.
Wow.
Yeah. And not only did he play Vader in the original Star Wars trilogy, but he reprised the role in the Star Wars interactive board game.
Oh, wow. This
board game came with a videotape of Vader. And this was David Prowse as Darth Vader once again.
A videotape.
That was in 1996, but in 1997, he came back for Monopoly Star Wars.
Oh, I think I remember this.
Yes. Yeah, so that was David Prowse in those two games. I'm so happy that he got the chance to play Darth Vader once again. But before Star Wars, he played Frankenstein's monster opposite future Star Wars co-star Peter Cushing. But beginning in 1975, he had established himself as a prominent icon in the United Kingdom as the first Green Cross Code Man. So this was a character used in British road safety advertising aimed at kids. So it would teach them to, when you cross the street, you gotta look both ways.
Right, right. And this reminds me of like Smokey the Bear. That was kind of similar with fire safety. This was road safety.
Yeah. 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 And kids really being safe. So in this time in the 1970s, kids knew him as the Green Cross Code Man, the superhero. But wait a minute, he's also the biggest villain in the galaxy? That man has got range. And unfortunately, this is another time where his voice was dubbed.
Because I won't be there when you cross the road.
Oh, no!
He just can't catch a break.
Oh, how sad.
At some point, Dave, just know that your voice is going to be dubbed. All right. Now, I met David Prowse at the Men Behind the Masks tour in 1995.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, it was so great finally meeting him. And I approached him about doing a film I was writing. I thought, you know what? There's David Prowse. I'm writing a screenplay. This is what better time to ask him to take a part in this film called Cyber Wars than right now. Now, there was a guy in front of me who had like 30 things for him to sign.
Oh, geez.
So I was like losing my nerve.
Oh, yeah. No.
And even David Prowse was like, oh, after the 20th thing, like, come on, move along. But I was like, wait a minute, I've got to ask him. So here is my David Prowse folder. Okay. And here is my letter of intent.
Oh, my goodness.
From David Prowse.
Now, this is something you need from, like, an actor or something to show that they are intending to work on your project.
Exactly. So when you go to a production company, they're like, well, who do you have attached to this? You can say, oh, I've got Harrison Ford or Tom Cruise. But it's the letter of intent from the actor that says, I intend, like you said, to be in your film. So this was dated October 1st, 1997, and I actually got a lawyer for my film, Cyber Wars.
Oh, nice.
So David Prowse wrote out to Heather, "Regarding Cyber Wars by Richard Woloski, many thanks for sending the first draft of the screenplay to me. It was very nice to talk to you on the phone today." I was right there in the room with Heather, like, oh my goodness, this is happening. All right, David goes on, "I'm very interested in Richard's project, the part of the boy's father, which is a very nice cameo, but if possible, would appreciate a greater involvement in the film as a whole. Please keep me appraised of the project and let me know.
And have the second draft as soon as possible."
Yes.
Something about that.
This is a fax.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard to
read,
make out.
Fax.
And he writes in all caps.
Yes.
And then here's his signature right here. David Prowse. Super cool.
And I even had some artwork done for the film.
Oh, wow.
Look at that right there.
Now, what became of the film? It never got made, right?
No,
yeah.
I let it fall into some bad hands.
Oh, no. So yes. it never made it out of development hell.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and David Prowse would send me all kinds of fun stuff in the mail. And here's some more Dave Prowse letters I got. So just, you know, he would write and say, hey, keep me abreast of what's going on. And, of course, his part got bigger and bigger and bigger as we went along. Like,
of
oh,
course.
My goodness, I've got David Prowse here. All this fun stuff he would send me.
Now, would you have dubbed his voice?
No. No, and that was the funny thing, because he was playing the boy's father, and the boy was going to be American, mm-hmm. but to have an English father,
oh,
I thought it would have been hysterical.
Okay.
Yeah, and he would have been playing the part of a sci-fi icon, and is kind of past his prime, so David Prowse really appreciated the kind of like little nod to him. So he was really getting into it, and you know, as time went on, it's just but still, like I saved all this stuff.
That is so cool.
Yeah, some more Cyber Wars concept art. Yeah, we were full force in pre-production on this.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So happy birthday to David Prowse.
All right, let's say hello to The Most Epic Adventures. Met Richard, met you at Comic Palooza, had him on the vlog. So yay! I don't remember if I showed you, but I have a StreamYard tattoo. I know Ming Chen loves to see it. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us on our live stream.
Yeah, please share the link to the vlog in the comments.
Yeah.
We'd love to see that. Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
All right. Now, before we get into our classic Marvel Star Wars comics breakdown, we're going to do shout outs.
That's right.
Shout outs. Skywalker shout outs. Which Skywalkers get props from here in Neverland? Who was tweeted out? Shout out. Who was photoballed? Shout out. Who was shared a post? Shout out.
As always, we love shouting out the Skywalking Force. Those are the Skywalkers who make it possible for doing Skywalking Through Neverland coming up on 11 years.
11 years, yes.
Now, on a sad note, Jennifer Cole, who was part of the Skywalking Force, she passed away and became one with the Force on June 23rd.
Yeah.
And we want to thank Jennifer for years and years of support. We met Jennifer many times at Disneyland meetups, and she was very identifiable because she was always the one with a big smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much full of positivity. You couldn't have met a sweeter person. Always, always full of fun stories.
Yeah, we met her at Friends of the Magic for the first time.
Yeah.
Window to the Magic podcast. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for it was lovely to spend time with you, Jennifer.
All right, with that, let's now roll into the Skywalking Force.
All right, every month we shout out the Skywalking Force. And so this month we give big thanks to Anthony Kakias,
Blessed Cheesemaker,
Bryn McKinnon,
Carl Fox,
Chica Fent,
Christopher Marino,
Courtney Turkell,
Dale Erdman,
Dan Boris,
Darren Irvine,
Dave Kerwin,
Don Glover,
Derek Beeb,
Garrett Sessions,
Glenn Stein,
Jennifer Cole,
Jeremy and Heather Hunt,
John Liang,
John Zancanaro,
Julie Caruana,
Julie Gildersleeve,
Kato Toby Ryder,
Kelly Turkell,
Laura Bryce,
Leanne Nelson,
Meredith Duckworth,
Michael Corbett,
Michael Nip,
Mike Ward,
Nancy Steinman,
Patrick Pine,
Patty Hammond,
Peter and Norma Heitman,
Randall Gobay,
Patty Nazarian,
Robert Avia,
Scott Carmichael,
Scott Hume,
Tim Knight,
Wesley Meekombs,
and
Wynn Patterson. So thank you to one and to all, and thank you once again to Jennifer. Fly free, Jennifer, second star to the right, and straight on till morning.
Now let's get into classic Marvel Star Wars Comics Annual Number 2 from 1982. In this issue, Han is looking to score some Sansana Spice.
Wait a minute, that sounds familiar.
It does. Rings a bell. Hmm. Anybody here know Sansana Spice?
So doing this breakdown couldn't have come at a better time. We were just rewatching The Book of Boba Fett. An awesome series.
It really is. Rewatch it again, you guys. It's so fun.
And in Chapter 2, The Tribes of Tatooine, right after Boba Fett and the Tusken Raiders derail the Pike train, Boba asks the Pike leader if they are carrying spice. Not just any spice, Sansana spice.
Are you carrying spice?
What do you mean by spice?
Sansana spice from the slave mines of Kessel.
What does spice look like?
Like that.
Which ties in, once again, to this issue, because Han says many times that he's looking to score some Sansana spice. So when we heard it on Boba Fett, it's like, wait
what?
A minute. So once again, this couldn't have come at a better time.
The timing was perfect.
But wait. There's more.
What?
Well, digging more into the research of Sansana spice, we found that the spice was also used in the Clone Wars.
What?
So here's a clip from the episode, The Revival, from Season 5.
Pure Sansana spices. Ondo be pleased.
All right, well, once again, stuff from these classic Marvel Star Wars comics transcends into canon. I just love how the creators just cherry-pick things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we always make a note whenever we come across them, and usually it's kismet like this. You know, we just happen to be watching Book of Boba Fett, happen to be hearing that one line. The only time they mentioned Sansana spice in the Book of Boba Fett was right there. And it was the week we were working on this episode. So just crazy.
And you know that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the TV
yes!
set from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Uh-huh.
That was us. We bolted up and pointed.
That was amazing.
All right. So now buckle yourselves in because you are going to laugh yourself silly. Imagine an alternate universe where another set of podcasters were also breaking down classic comics. Well, that universe just collided with ours.
We are so excited to have Andrew Kilpatrick and Phil Oberholzer of the podcast This Is Getting Graphic to help us break down this second Star Wars annual. Hey,
Andrew and Phil!
Greetings, folks!
Hello, how are we doing tonight?
We are doing great, and we are so excited to have you. We knew when we saw your podcast show at Houston Comic Palooza, where you broke down a classic Marvel comic, Sarah and I said, we gotta have these guys on our show. We gotta have them and their wackiness.
And their wacky energy, right?
Yeah.
Wackiness is a good word for what we do, I will say that.
Absolutely, yeah. It is.
So tell us about what you do. Tell us about your podcast, This Is Getting Graphic.
So our show, This Is Getting Graphic, is, as you said, all about talking about the wildest and wackiest that comic books and graphic novels have to offer. Our show functions with me being the primary storyteller. I bring the comic onto the show, and I discuss it with Phil. We break it down. We talk about the art. We talk about the history and everything. And Phil knows absolutely nothing about the comic that I am bringing onto the show. So
that is the truth.
Yeah. So every one of his reactions, totally 100% genuine.
we always wanted to do this since I love comic book media. I've always been a superhero fan, but I've never really read a lot of it. I've always grew up with like the movies and the TV shows, like, you know, Batman the Animated Series, the Justice League show, Teen Titans, all that stuff. But I never actually sat down and read the comics. Andrew, on the other hand, has watched all those shows and has just libraries upon libraries of comic knowledge. So
you should
I
see the shelf next to me, and that would
it's good.
That would
it's great. It's legendary scale. And so I happened to say one day, God, I would really love to learn more about like the actual source material of this stuff. And Andrew said, well, I can help you out with that. And we went back and forth for a bit, and we noticed, like, as we were talking about stuff, we were cracking jokes and laughing a lot. And then one day we went, should we record this? And the rest kind of is history.
Pretty much, yeah. So we were also roommates in college, so like we'd been looking for a project like this to do. We'd always worked really well together, so we'd been looking for a project like this to do for the longest time, and now we do it, and we do it every 2 weeks, and it's very exciting.
How long have you been doing the show?
It's 2 years officially now. Oh, it's almost 2 years. July 4th will be two years.
July 4th, 2022 was our first episode, which was on the very first Superman story ever in Action Comics number one. So,
which is a roller coaster. If anyone hasn't read it, highly recommend it. That's a bonkers story.
This is another similarity between us and you guys, because I had a deep, hardcore fascination with the Marvel comics, and Sarah's, she's never read them before.
I prefer novels and books and using my imagination. It's hard for me to read a comic. I don't know, because I have to, like, split my time between the narration and the pictures. I can't,
put
them together. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I'm very hardcore, but I didn't start reading these comics until, you know, like the mid-80s when there was so little Star Wars. Mm. The world was Star Wars dehydrated. So
I
thought, I'll go back and read some of these comics, because I was like the kid that liked to look at the pictures or see the movies. But then, I'm not sure when it really started. Were
you a teenager? Where between us.
I said, hey, let's break down these classic Marvel Star Wars comics. And we had a Star Wars artist named Randy Martinez come and join us.
Oh.
And I think it just kind of snowballed into something big.
Right.
And we just kept going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And it's just so much fun to see Sarah's firsthand reactions to these very trippy comics.
Absolutely. I will say that at this point, we have not covered any Star Wars on the show ourselves, but I keep telling Phil that there is a list which exists that has so many stories that we're going to cover at some point.
Just that cartoon gag of like unrolling the parchment and it just hits the floor and rolls out the door. That's what I've been told the list is like.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are so many, quite a few Star Wars stories on those lists. Some of them from this very series. So yeah.
Oh, good. I have more to look forward to from this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is definitely a way to hook you guys in. But speaking of hooking, if we were to hook someone with your show, which episode would you recommend to them first?
Oh, God, first? Oh,
I think
man.
So each episode is a great standalone experience. Like, you don't have to have listened to all of the other episodes in order to be able to enjoy the show. We each have our personal favorites, I know. Phil, what do you think yours is? I'm still thinking.
I don't know if I can pick just one, but I think I've got like a top two or three. We were just having this conversation the other day, and when we first started out, it was a little clunky when we were trying to figure out like how we wanted to get like the format down and whatnot. The episode where I think we really hit our stride and found a good formula for what we do was when we covered the comic Batman Ghosts. It was our first Halloween episode.
Ooh.
And it was Batman, without giving too much away, it's Batman being visited by a group of spirits. And Andrew pulled a very good Halloween prank on me on this one, because for a week he teed up that's like, oh, I know you love horror. I got a great horror comic for you, and it's a Batman comic. You love Batman too. And I was so like, I was all curled up in my seat, really like, I'm ready to get scared by Batman. And then things started going, and throughout the episode you hear me like, Andrew, what is this? What have you brought me? What are we reading?
It says, it almost sounds like A Christmas Carol meets Batman.
You may have.
I mean, you said he's visited by spirits, right?
You may have just sussed out the twist right there.
Whoops.
And you got it a lot quicker than Phil did.
Literally, there is a, I'll give this one away since you guessed what this ends up being. There's a part in the comic where Bruce sees the spirit of his father, and Thomas Wayne is locked in chains with all these like lock boxes behind him. And that was the point where I went, Andrew, what is this? I went, that looks very similar to another ghost a lot of people know. And he's like, oh, isn't that funny? Well, anyway, so
Jacob Marley. How funny.
Batman Ghosts is definitely one I would recommend. Another one I would recommend, I can't remember the exact name of the comic, but we covered a Spider-Man comic. Ooh. Where Aunt May gets engaged to Dr. Octopus.
Wow.
All right, I'm looking at your list of shows right now. I'm bookmarking them.
Now is this the hot Aunt May from the new timeline?
No.
And Marissa Tomei.
No, we got okay. The original Marvel.
It's Grandma, it's Grandma May.
Okay, Grandma May. No
that
problem.
That one is one I think we really had a good flow in, and there are a couple. There's a part where I am like shrieking with laughter at one
Absolutely.
Point where you can hear me in the background like yelling with laughter. That really got me. So that's number two. And a third one I'd recommend is one we did very recently, which was actually a double feature where it was a Batman comic followed by the introduction of the DC hero Martian Manhunter.
Wow.
Andrew knows exactly which one I mean. The Batman story at the start is very good. The meat of that episode, you gotta stick with it till the second half, because the Martian Manhunter bit, it has one of our funniest bits, I think, that has made us laugh. I think it's the hardest we've ever laughed on the show.
Absolutely.
Because there's a whole, like, I can't describe it without saying how fun it was. But as a lot of comic people know, John Jones' main weakness is fire. So we have this whole running joke of things just exploding around John Jones. And it's like, yeah, he walks out to his car and the car just bursts into flames. And we were laughing a lot during that. So that's my other recommendation.
That is a good one. That is a good one. I have one that I actually listened to really recently again, just because I wanted to hear it again. It is an issue of Marvel Team Up, which was basically the concept of this book was, it was usually Spider-Man teaming up with a bunch of different, like, Marvel heroes. But this one was a little bit different because they decided to team Spider-Man up with the original cast of Saturday Night Live.
What?
Yes, absolutely. So it's basically like there's this whole supervillain plot going on backstage involving John Belushi. And Spider-Man is like working to stop them, while at the same time there's this whole show going on stage with Stan Lee as the host of Saturday Night Live that evening.
In case we like meta humor up in here.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great that episode. I just listened to it again recently. It still really holds up, and it's still there's some bits in there that still make me laugh really hard. So,
oh yeah, that was
that would be one of mine.
A great creative twist there.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
They make it work. Like it for a majority cast of non-superpowered individuals. They make the story work. It had my attention the whole time.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so much fun. Like,
and
just...
we,
There's so much insanity to be found in not only classic, but also we've done some modern comics from both Marvel and DC.
Okay.
There's still some weird stuff that happens, and it's so wonderful. We have a great time with it.
Speaking of team-ups, I'm sorry if this is dragging on way longer than we originally anticipated. I've got two more recommendations that I'll make super quick that are a pair of team-ups. The first one is the DC character Jonah Hex meeting up with, I'm not making this up, Yosemite Sam from the Looney Tunes.
That's awesome.
For this incredible Western adventure that is actually really compelling and really interesting as we went through it. I say multiple times in the episode, I say, why does this work? What, this shouldn't work. Why is this so good?
Yeah.
And the other one that really got me, that I think is one of the coolest books we've ever read, is Venom from the Spider-Man mythos teaming up with Conan the Barbarian. It's awesome.
That. See, now, even if anyone doesn't know these characters,
right,
your affinity for the subject matter and your energy is very infectious.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big sucker for 80s action movies. Like, I love stuff like Clint Eastwood and, like, Kurt Russell, Escape from New York, stuff like that. The Venom-Conan crossover is just my 80s action movie love come to life, because it's full of, like, really cool one-liners and explosions and dudes, like, fighting each other, and I'm just sitting there the whole time going, this is the best book ever! So, yeah, that was really fun to do.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Those are all great ones.
All right, now I got, like, 16 of your shows bookmarked.
Yep.
Sorry if I was rambling there a lot.
No, it's always good to listen to a new, fresh podcast.
Yeah.
So this is great.
Absolutely.
All right, now let's let the wackiness begin. I think it's already begun.
Yeah.
Continue,
I should
say. We haven't
even got to the story yet.
By breaking down this second of three king-sized Star Wars annuals.
That's right.
Now,
woo,
we had covered the first annual back in 2021. That was like, what, 10 years ago, was it?
Oh my God, I know,
it
right?
It feels like 2021, yeah.
Yeah, so long ago.
I don't even
ago.
Know where I was.
And we did that with Star Wars Origami author Chris Alexander. Now, these annuals...
Cool.
Yeah, these annuals are one-shot comics doubling the size of the original issues. So instead of 18 to 19 pages, let's do some math. They're about 38, 39 pages.
Okay.
That's a
nice,
like double the size.
Star Wars.
That's a thick book.
Yeah.
So at this point, the main Star Wars series has not featured Han for over a year.
Right.
Since he's still frozen in carbonite. So, of course, this was a chance for Marvel to cash in on Harrison Ford, because he was still hot off of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So
I'm sure.
I mean, he's still hot, but this is Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as we break down these classic Marvel Star Wars comics, I share memories of reading these issues as a kid. Who am I kidding? Looking at the pictures when I was a kid. And get you caught up with these characters and situations that every Star Wars fan must know. Because as we've noted in the past, there are several connections and parallels to the current comics, the films, the novels. And I believe it is here in this issue where we start to see the origins of one of the most famous Star Wars quotes.
I also have to say that in this issue, mm-hmm, I'm the one coming up with most of the Fatoom fast facts.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, which is unusual.
That's where we pause and we give a little behind the scenes information on things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I haven't read your notes. You haven't read my notes. So I'm very, very intrigued by this.
Yes, I'm excited.
And I'm excited to hear what you guys have got.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm ready to learn more. I learn so much every time we do our show, and I'm really excited to learn more things from a brand new perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of perspective, so I'm reading these comics for the first time, like you guys too, right? You're reading this one for the first time? Okay.
Yeah, he's read it. I've never read it.
Yeah,
okay. So
I prepared
his take
for it
on
like
things.
I did for an episode of our show where I actually read it. Phil did not, so.
Okay, perfect. All right. And then I also have my artistic thoughts, and then I love comparing the different styles that the various artists bring to these series.
You're very good at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. All right. So, shall we get into it?
Yeah.
Let the force be with us.
Let's read a summary.
Oh, okay. You got
it. This issue. Shade Shine.
All right.
That's a very that's a very hard word to say, because whenever I want to say it, I always want to say shade sign.
Shade shine.
I feel so bad for these monks. Like, this escalator feels steep.
All right. First of all, here's the summary. So Luke Skywalker, Lando Calrissian, and C-3PO evade Imperial stormtroopers when they duck inside a palace containing a giant golden statue of Han Solo. The rebels are puzzled until Rove Vedder Pin appears, declaring that Solo is the savior of the planet Ventuine. He activates a recording of Solo's voice, which recounts the story of how Solo saved the planet. Solo and Chewbacca were traveling to Ventuine to deal in Sansana spice. When Solo is run out of the cantina, when he is labeled a supporter of the Setaab, he saves Tyrus Chrysala, and she is the consort to the Setaab. Solo is brought back to the Setaab's palace as a hero, where he discovers that the Setaab rules the planet through the use of a stone known as the Shade Shine.
All together now.
Shade Shine. Because of his heroics, Solo is placed in line to take the title of the Setaab. Will he be the new ruler? And at what cost? Why is there a giant gold statue in the middle of this palace? And where is Chewbacca during all this?
Oh, answers
Han does not need this for his ego. This is just going to inflate his ego way bigger than it already is. They made a statue of me.
Yes. Well, he doesn't know it yet, apparently. But
true.
We'll see.
He's a rock.
All right, so this Star Wars Annual 2 was released on August 17th, 1982.
So raise your hand if you were born at this point.
Yeah, no.
Anybody else in the Sky Chat? There's like nearly 40 of you. Let us know. Let us know what you guys are. Were you born in 1982? I was just born.
Or after?
Yeah.
All right, this was written by David Michelinie. Artwork by Carmen Infantino, Rudy Nebris, and George Roussosis. And the cover art is by Carmen Infantino and Rudy Nebris.
All right.
Which I will say that I am super excited to be looking at some quality Carmine Infantino art. For those who might be unfamiliar, Carmine Infantino was a big deal artist and editor, both at Marvel and DC, for a lot of this period. So it's going to be very exciting to take a look at a lot of his stuff throughout here.
Yeah. He was really involved in the first arc after Star Wars adaptation. So it's great to see him come back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As much as I had to say that I'm just not familiar with artists, I will say, as someone coming at this from the first time, I'm loving, I cracked a joke about it, but this cover is really awesome. I'm a big fan of shading work when it comes to, I'm a big fan of the use of shadows and things like that in artwork. And I love the way this is done, like color and shading wise. I love the doorway with the blackness all around it, so they're like almost silhouetted in it. I love the oranges and the yellows and reds. I love the way like the lines on the monks' faces make these dark shadows. It's really compelling to see.
So now, Phil, if you were a kid and you saw this on the spinner rack, is this something that you would pick up?
I think so. I think my first of all, I'd be like, oh, Han Solo, he's one of my favorite Star Wars characters. And I'd be like, wait, who's that girl he's with? That's not Leia. And then I'd see these monks and go, these guys look creepy. Why are they all floating? And then, yeah, I would definitely want to know what's going on with this.
Although I will say, whoever this girl is, it appears that she shops at the same store as whoever goes shopping for Jabba the Hutt's costumes. So
that looks
very similar to that metal bikini from Return of the Jedi.
She did make a second stop, though, to pick up those green high heels with it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She pulls them off well.
I'm not one for fashion, but I don't think that whole outfit goes together. Those shoes don't tie in with anything. Now, Andrew, what is your opinion on this cover art? And for those Skywalkers who are not watching, just listening, let me describe this. Han Solo, he strikes a heroic pose with blaster in hand, a scantily clad female hanging on his side.
Typical
for him. She has got her hand somewhere. And there seems to be several floating monks inside of this darkened room. There's not even dialogue, not even an issue title. It's just a lot to be strung together with your imagination.
Right, yeah, there is no words on here. Very unusual for a Star Wars Marvel comic cover.
Is this how Force users sleep? Like, is this good for their backs?
Have you guys been seeing The Acolyte?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Torben.
Master Torben.
Okay, so there's another parallel.
Yeah.
There we go.
So I will say, what I like about this cover is it also strikes kind of a parallel with those old, like, science fiction pulp stories that they used to, you know, they used to have a lot of covers like these in, like, you know, the 40s and 50s kind of sci-fi magazines, where, like, you know, you've got this person standing heroically, you've got this admittedly scantily clad woman, and you've got all this weird stuff going on all around them and stuff like that. So that's what it kind of reminds me of here. And they were eye-catching enough for the 40s and 50s. It's eye-catching enough now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what these monks are doing? They're planking.
We're doing the new TikTok craze.
Pulling out a reference from 2010.
Yeah, no kidding.
But these monks are taking it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need no plank. We are the planks.
I really want a series of Jedi making viral videos now.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Skywalkers, if you're watching this cover, if you're watching this right now, please share in the comments what you think of it.
All right, Sarah, what do you think of this cover?
Okay, so when I first saw this cover, the image that came to my mind was the Star Wars Hildebrandt poster, which contains Luke holding that lightsaber straight up and then Leia on the side with the blaster. And here, I mean, they're kind of... like switched, but Han is kind of in the Leia role, sort of. I don't know. Like, to me, that's what it reminded me of. And I think
see the composition
it's because of the doorway too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The doorway on that cover really made me think of that. So yeah, I like that. And I feel like those artists must have been smoking something because you
what? What?
I see Darth Vader in the sky!
Sarah, this is the 80s. People didn't do that then.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they just sniffed stuff. Okay. All right.
Now you're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the 80s.
But yeah, these monks are just defying gravity. I really like the colors. Like you said, Phil, those colors really pop to me. And again, Andrew, I have to echo... those green shoes, that's a bold choice.
That is a choice.
Yeah, these pointy green heels. It's very out of place in the Star Wars universe, but she is rocking them.
Yeah. You know what? Is this the first time we're ever seeing stilettos in the Star Wars?
I think so, because usually they wear boots.
Yeah.
Right?
I was going to say, this is like the first time. I don't know if I can think of a Star Wars character off the top of my head that wears like high heel shoes.
Right. Yeah, we'd have to go back to the comic... of our previous episode with those
Amaza?
Girls. Yeah, oh, Amaza.
Okay.
But then the girls in the blue women, right? In the cantina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of footwear they were. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, that's true.
If we didn't see their feet, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Fair. No proof.
Exactly.
All right. Now, for me,
yes.
I got to say, I'm kind of differing with all of you over here.
Okay.
Because of all 107 issues of the classic Marvel Star Wars comics and the three annuals all tied together... I think this is my least favorite cover art.
Oh, no.
Really?
I know, and I'm sorry. But nothing about floating monks grabbed me when I saw this on the spinner rack at the store. To me, these looked like Kojaks all surrounded, floating there, surrounding Han Solo. So I...
Not even the girl?
No, I just couldn't get there. I just couldn't get there. And, If they were, like, floating alien monks, maybe that would have intrigued me.
Yeah, you really like aliens.
This does just look kind of like Charles Xavier wearing a Snuggie and walking up a wall. So I get where you're coming. And we're Peter Pan shoes now that I'm looking a little closer. Yeah.
So for you, it's Xavier. For me, it's Kojak. And I always thought Kojak was very boring, a boring cop show. So
yeah.
I saw these, I thought.
And now there's six of them.
Yeah, and more. And I, speaking of the girl, I thought Marvel was playing it really safe with her and all her high heels and these little tiny mermaid shells over her chest. Now, I know most of the Star Wars audience was about 13 at this time, and Marvel wanted to sell more copies. All right, I get a hand it to them. They knew what they were doing, but I just felt like this was pandering when they didn't need to. You know, in this day and age, when you see a celebrity taking a picture with a female fan, they have to have their hand hovering above their shoulder. Ah. Look, Han is way, way ahead of the curve here. He's like, I do not want a lawsuit. My hand is out where everyone can see it.
Right here.
I am not putting my hand on anything where her hand is like all over his chest. Uh-huh. We don't know where her backhand is.
No, we don't.
But Han does not want a lawsuit, okay? So, Han, you're thinking, okay? You're thinking.
That's why he's making that face. He's like, stop it. We're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Not you, monks. Me. So one of these monks is going to put this on TikTok and I'll be canceled.
Oh, boy.
I'm riding high on Raiders of the Lost Ark. I can't afford this right now.
All right. Well, Richard, you posted this picture on Facebook. And so we have some comments.
Yes, from... we asked all of our Skywalkers to weigh in.
Yeah, ooh. So here we go. So Patrick Izzo said, how did Sofia Vergara get on the cover with Han?
So, do you know what this means, Sarah?
What?
It means whenever you read a line by Chrysala,
oh, no.
You get to read
it like
a Colombian.
challenge
I do.
There's a lot of times when she's gonna speak and forward the plot, and you need
can
to
I
read
can
that.
I default to my Russian accent because that's what I got.
I'm sorry. Hold on, Andrew, Phil, what do you say? They say no. They say no.
I say are Russians from Colombia?
No, they're not.
I mean, some might be, I don't know.
All right, Rex Gordon, he weighs in and says, yes, I was so happy to see Han on the cover, even if the art was a bit wonky. And a hot girl, too? He was still frozen in carbonite, so I knew this had to be a flashback. And by the way, did Jabba use the same designer for Leia's bikini? Huh?
Ah!
There you go. Great minds think alike. The old guys floating around were very creepy. And why is Han trying to shoot at them? Who cares? It's Han. Make mine marvel.
Nice.
That's good.
Taking pot shots at him.
Yeah, I love that.
One's floating like above him, so he's not aiming in the right spot.
I don't know that I think too much of your target practice room here, scantily clad woman.
Nice.
Don't worry, they're all Kojak.
See, it's catching on. It's catching on.
All right, Brian Babcock says, is that supposed to be Leia in her metal bikini?
Yeah, see, we're all pulling there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Matt Schott says, Star Wars crosses over with Kung Fu, and Han discovers the Sholan monks floating in the monastery.
Oh my god, I would love a comic where Han learns Kung Fu. That'd be so cool.
All right, and then Carlos Esteban Munoz says, so those guys in the red robes... they're the anti-life day monks. They're all about death day.
And they're okay.
I like that one.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. So, and they all go around doing bad reenactments of possum fake deaths. Carlos has quite the imagination.
Yes,
thank
he
you,
does.
Carlos.
See, we all see something different.
Yeah. Hey, my mom's coming in. Oh. Happy Sunday night, everyone, she says.
Hey, hello.
Sarah's mom is a huge Star Wars classic Marvel fan.
Oh, good,
oh, that's
good.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's like, oh, way ahead of you here. All right, now, let's get into the story.
Yes.
All right, sit tight, everyone. Now, on the planet Ventuine, Luke Skywalker, Lando Calrissian, and C-3PO are pursued by Imperial stormtroopers. C-3PO apologizes for his lack of mobility since his circuits weren't designed for hairbreadth escapes. Hairbreadth escapes. Another words that are hard to say together. Hairbreadth escapes.
Yep.
The three duck into a building, and suddenly Lando is wearing Batman's cape.
Now, are you referring to this bottom
look
left?
That bottom left hand.
Yeah.
Panel. He's
yeah.
Look at how Batman's got those. What do you call them? Those.
Yeah.
Scallops.
Like the ridges.
Yes.
Scallops.
Yes.
Ridges.
That's what he's wearing right there.
Yeah.
Man. I need more scenes of Lando doing, like, the dramatic cape swish.
Well, Billy D. Williams was in the original 1989 Batman with Michael Keaton, so clearly
true.
He stole that off the set.
Oh! Yeah.
Before I go to Ventuine, I'm taking this.
Yeah, this is going to serve me well.
That's amazing.
Also, I find it very interesting that Luke has apparently changed back into his farmer's ensemble from Tatooine at this point. Because, he had been wearing a lot of things that weren't moisture farming chic at this point in the Star Wars series. I think he would have switched to, like, either the Cloud City Brown or like the Black from Return of the Jedi. You know, not this is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I believe that they're going to put all of these original characters in their Kenner Star Wars outfits because at this stage, all the kids were playing with the figures and we could identify, okay, that's Luke Skywalker. He's wearing the white tunic, the brown pants.
Right, right.
So it's an easy identifier.
Okay.
All right. Now, this is when Luke takes a beat and explains to the reader that they are there to investigate rumors of an incredible power source.
Yeah. And then they run into this orange entrance right here, this bottom left panel, and it's very similar to the cover art. So to me, this is foreshadowing.
Yeah. Now, I gotta ask our East Coast friends over here, what color is that again?
That looks like orange red to me.
Okay, Andrew?
Yeah, it's orange.
Yeah, I see it as more of a red, actually, in all honesty.
Okay, but say the word orange.
Orange?
Oh, come on, guys!
Orange,
you're
see?
From the East Coast.
He says it right!
Okay, this is a little tangent here, because from the East Coast, we say orange. She says orange.
It's orange.
And orange is not a word!
Orange,
well, I will say
syllable.
I do hit both syllables orange, but I have heard the like orange where like the A is taken out.
Right.
You know, I thought you guys would back me up with the orange enunciation.
Sorry, buddy.
First syllable is what you use to move a rowboat, or
that's right.
You know what? I'm gonna cut this part out anyway.
No, we're not. It's live. We can't cut it out.
You're editing it out of the show.
Oh man. All right, now look at this bottom panel. Looks like Luke is aiming his blaster at 3PO's head.
And, you're gonna tell me where those other droids are.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe this will help you with your hairbreadth escapes. I can't say those two words together. Hairbreadth escapes.
I think you're
Run
supposed to say hair's
faster.
Breath.
Hair's breath.
I don't know.
That's what it says hair's right here in the dialogue.
Breath. What do you guys say? Yeah. Skywalker's in the sky chat.
Well, it says it right hair's there. I'm saying
I know.
How it's written out there.
I know.
All right. Now, Luke hopes they don't run into any more surprises. Cue the surprise.
Blanking monks? Oh!
A giant glittering gold statue of Han Solo.
And Lando says exactly what I said. This is he doesn't need this for his ego. Melt it down before he finds it.
Yeah. All right. For those of you who aren't watching this right now, I'll explain the splash page here. So we get this great long shot and high angle of a temple in ruins. There's piles of rubble everywhere, crumbling columns and rockwork. And there's several cobwebs that are featuring prominently in the space. It's really cool. Yeah. And all the ground is these cool tone purples, blues, muddy brown. But standing in the center is this gigantic statue of Han Solo. It's wrought in gold. It's very shiny, like it's brand new. It's almost gold white is what they have here. And then at the very far foreground bottom, we see 3PO, Luke, and Lando standing dumbstruck. And Luke says, it's Han Solo.
But look at this lighting.
Thanks for clearing
scheme.
That up. We don't know any other Hans.
Yeah. Did you mean Han Jones? Were you talking about Han Ford? Han Book? Han Alfalfa?
Han Book. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Han Belfa?
Also, they did him in this great Superman pose here. So like,
yeah.
Oh, this is.
Yeah.
Somebody had fun with this.
He should have had his arms crossed. Like the mm-hmm. like the Han Solo we see in all of the publicity stills.
Yeah, but this looks really cool.
They never get the nose right.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
All right, now you have a Fatoum fast fact here.
I do. It's time for Fatoum fast fact. So this is something that is connecting with the Star Wars universe now as we know it. And I feel like this setting may have inspired a High Republic novel, Into the Dark, by Claudia Gray. And this is really cool because this whole novel takes place on an abandoned space station that is overrun with plant life, which we later learn is sentient plant life that's bad. But but it also, like here, I'll show you, there's some comics here. So there's some comics that also take place in the same Maxine station. And it looks very similar. And within the station itself, there are these statues, these ancient statues as well. Now, they're not statues of Han Solo. They're statues of, like, ancient Jedi or Sith or something. But But what happens is they remove the statues in the novel and all of a sudden unleash the plant life, because I guess the statues were there protecting, like, making, like, basically harnessing the dark side so it didn't get out.
Oh, so this means that if we take out the Han Solo statue here, it's going to be like The Last of Us up in here. Like,
yes. Everything's gonna... Absolutely.
It's like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that Pedro Pascal in there? And he's holding Grogu?
Yeah. So,
dude, Han Solo versus the Mandalorian, that's the crossover I want.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I've got a bad feeling about that.
Well,
but,
done.
But I was like, so I like knocked me off my seat when I saw this page in the comic, because it really reminded me of my image in my head of that Amoxine station from Into the Dark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's,
yeah.
Right. It's right there.
Yeah.
That
and
is cool.
As we know that the authors at Lucasfilm, mm-hmm. they're like, they'll go through some of these pages, some of these classic Marvel Star Wars comics, and take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this.
Yeah.
So you know what? We get a tweet out to
Claudia Gray. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully she's on not Twitter. What's the other one now?
XYZ?
No.
XLMNOP?
Yeah. Hopefully she's on some
MySpace.
Platform.
You're thinking of MySpace.
Yeah, that's it.
There we go. You're thinking of Carrier Pigeon?
MySpace.
Yelling out your front door?
Yeah.
All right, now, back to the story. As the three marvel in bewilderment of the statue, they are approached by a bald man in a red robe. He is Vedder Pin, a rove of the church and caretaker to the shrine.
Rove?
So if you're wondering, rove is a religious title used to denote the highest ranking members of the church on Ventuine.
That's cool.
Thank
also,
you.
Also, Andrew, you made a joke about these monks wearing Snuggies earlier. That's a Snuggie.
That is a Snuggie.
That is absolutely a Snuggie.
Oh, I think they watched the holiday special and said, oh, red Snuggies, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
That is the fashion of the future.
Because at this point, the special has been out.
Oh, yeah.
78, yeah.
Now, Vedder asks them if they speak Galaxy Standard, which is odd since he's been listening to them for the last few minutes. Like, no, we don't speak Galaxy Standard. We speak Basic, all right?
Come exactly.
On. Know
exactly.
Your Star Wars terminology.
Same.
Vedder then approaches Luke and comments that he is of the same species as their savior. Luke replies, Han, are you kidding?
Fair and valid response.
Very, very.
At this point in the series.
Mm-hmm. Now, wow. Vedder explains that Han saved them from the evil rain and the deadly Shade Shine.
Say it again.
Shade Shine.
Shade
Shine curse.
Oh.
Now, Shade Shine catches the attention of Lando, since that is the weapon they came looking for, and asks to hear more about it. Vedder taps the rock base with his staff, and suddenly they hear Han's voice.
What?
Now, the staff works as a trigger mineral, which activates the memory stones and releases Han's voice recording as an echo. Think of this as, like, podcasting.
Yeah.
In Star Wars Galaxy.
Dear Luke, Lando, and 3PO, yeah, I knew you were going to be there. Don't ask how.
I'm all powerful. I'm the savior of Ventuine.
All right, Andrew, you gotta read that bottom. Can you read the bottom, very bottom?
The bottom.
Left, yeah. Right?
The dialogue.
The dialogue from Han.
You can't imagine how silly I feel talking into a rock.
I love Han Solo so much.
Yeah, all right,
he's such a grounding presence in moments like this in Star Wars. I love the moments where he sees something like Luke doing something with the Force, and he's like, ah, this is crazy. It's like, it's exactly how we would all feel in that moment.
Yeah, he's the audience. He's the viewpoint of the audience.
Yeah,
so good.
All right, now with this talking rock, though, there is another Fatoom.
What?
Fast fact.
What?
Yes.
A talking rock.
Okay, I'm going to head back to this novel, Into the Dark, again. I feel like Claudia Gray loosely based her book on this comic, at least the first part of the comic, because the funniest character introduced into this High Republic series so far has been Geode.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. He is a Vintian, which means he is
a
giant
rock.
Yes. And
what's
I really recommend you read this novel, Into the Dark. He is given this hilarious personality in the book by Claudia Gray. She writes the character's reactions to Geode's expressions, which they which they can read even though he's a giant boulder. And he, like, randomly appears in places, like, and freaks bad guys out. It's the most hilarious thing.
And the funniest thing is, if you go to a Star Wars Celebration convention, there are cosplayers dressing as a Star Wars rock.
That is so wonderful. Yes! Oh, my God.
I love that. Oh, they win my gold medal.
Yeah.
What is the name of this alien race again?
Oh, so Geode is the name of this particular one, and he is a Vintian. V as in
Vintian.
Victor. Yeah, Vintian. Mm, like,
well, like yeah. Ventuine, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I need to see it now. You know it's possible. Where are the Vintian Jedi?
Yeah. Oh, that would be so
great. I want a robe on that rock. I want a lightsaber wedged into a crack on the side of the rock.
Every so often in the temple, you just hear... He's like on his way to something or other.
May the force be with you, Master Geode. He said it back.
Well, we haven't seen the last four episodes of The Acolyte yet.
Yeah, you who never knows?
Know. Yeah.
But will this drive the fans crazy? Oh, what gender is this rock? I'm upset. I don't want anything to do with this.
They use they/them pronouns.
Yep. Oh my God.
Okay.
Actually, really one of the characters has like a crush on him, Geode, in the novel High Republic. It's so tongue-in-cheek.
Now you're making things up.
It's the cutest thing. Like I just Claudia Gray, her writing is so great.
I do find it really funny that somebody it just tickles me. Somebody being in love with a giant rock and it's with a giant boulder and it's called a crush.
Yeah.
Well, you know, clearly beauty is only stone deep.
It's not written in stone.
Oh. And right now, Han Solo is saying, oh, no more boulders. I'd rather be chased by another boulder.
I just got done getting
enough with the boulders,
people. This one knows the force.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We could talk about the boulders
forever.
I know.
Ooh. Yeah.
That was good.
Han, in his recording, says that he promised Vedder that he'd set their record straight as a favor and as a warning. So we now go back in time. And Han tells the tale of how he and Chewbacca had just traded a rare spice to Ventuine, and now they plan on heading into the city. And Han plans to blend in with his Indiana Jones fedora and long green cape. Yep, that'll
never
do
it. Suspect me, so Chewie. I'll be too busy being disguised as a scarecrow.
Yes.
As long as people are stealing, like, capes from other movie sets, pretty sure he stole that off Frodo from The Lord of the Rings.
We already have time travel. He went forward to Peter Jackson, took the cape.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Look at this next page, though. Like, check this out.
Oh, man. All right, now.
I think Scarecrow is spot on. I think, Phil, did you mention Scarecrow?
Yeah.
If he only had a brain.
Yep.
Oh. Now, Han begins planting the taxation story seeds for the Phantom Menace and talks about digging up a good supply of Sansana, so they'll be able to hire the best tailors in the galaxy. And he says, that stuff is so rare, it's been taxed out of existence. And right then and there, several Namordians' ears are perking up. Oh, did someone say taxation? Oh, it's almost our time. He then says to Chewie that Chewie, you're going to draw too much attention, so you need to stay behind, but I'll be back in a couple of days. I'll crack a window, don't worry. You'll be safe.
We'll put on your favorite tunes. We'll make sure that you're...
I left plenty of water out. You'll be good. Now, Han departs the Millennium Falcon and walks to the nearest settlement. Now, here he gives a small spoiler in his recording and says that if he had known what he was getting into, he wouldn't have left Chewie behind.
Oh.
I think leaving Chewie behind just seems more like a cost-cutting measure by Marvel, since they didn't have enough time to draw him for the rest of the story. And look how much money they're saving on brown ink.
Oh.
That stuff is expensive.
7'5" tall bodyguard for this one.
They must have got a discount on green ink, though.
Oh,
I suppose.
But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Look at Han's cape. Look at Chrysalis' shoes.
Stilettos. Oh yeah.
Green everywhere.
I do have to say this bottom panel here. Here, let's zoom in a little bit. But look how
That's
nice
a shot
that
of
is.
Han trying to infiltrate Mordor.
Yes. Now you guys will bring those references. We don't know that one as well, but
this
okay.
That's okay.
This is a city called Goyoikin. Now, isn't that the sound you hear when an anvil falls in the Wile E. Coyote?
That's the sound I make when I stub my toe in the middle of the night.
Goyaiken!
I'm pretty sure I heard that sound in a Jerry Lewis movie once. Like, Goyaiken!
Isn't that the name of Ryu from Street Fighter's signature move?
Goyaiken!
Goyaiken!
We all see and hear something different.
Yeah. I'm just looking. So, for once, I'm looking at the pretty pictures here and not reading
and
the words.
And we're focusing on sound effects when you hit somebody.
But look at this cool panel. It's like a fisheye lens view of the city. You know, Han got out his filters on his phone and is, you know, doing the fisheye view.
Oh, so this is one of Han's Instagram photos.
Yes, yes.
Makes sense.
Hashtag Ventoine. Hashtag love and life.
Hashtag no Wookiees.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and Chewie's back in the Falcon going, damn you, Han. When you get back here, the Falcon won't be here. Now how much are you laughing? Let's see how funny that is. All right, now, as Han is about to ask for directions, he catches sight of something that sets the tone for the rest of his stay. Three thugs in loincloths holding spears march through the town. They yell at Vedder, who is crossing the street, out of the way, church man! Wait, hold on. Phil, why don't you take this line right over here?
Out of the way, church man.
There you go.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Now, okay, what's up with this? Vedder is a good 25 feet away, so what is their problem? How slow is this guy walking?
When we get to you.
True.
They catch up pretty quickly and say, when one of the, you call it Satab or Satab?
I say Satab.
Okay, I will call it Satab. You already set the tone there.
Okay.
When one of the Satab guards speaks, you obey. And one of those bald-headed guards pushes him down. Everyone's bald here. Han hurries over and helps him up and asks, hey, do you know where the nearest watering hole is located? No, he doesn't ask, are you okay?
No.
Or how did you manage to land in the only puddle for miles?
Are you all right? I saw what those cavemen did to you.
And where's your lollipop there, Kojak? I'm sorry for all the Kojak references. I think what's... said Kojak more time on this show than ever before. Kojak was a 70s police show.
Kelly
Savalas. Always had a lollipop.
I keep forgetting this because Kojak does not sound like a police name. I don't know why. Okay.
It doesn't. It sounds like a camera company.
Yeah. It does. It does.
Oh, it's a Kojak moment.
That's so weird. All right. Wow. Well, we got red and green here. So I don't know.
Yay, right. Christmas!
Yeah.
Now, Han finds himself in a cantina, and who's sitting at the other end of the bar there?
In the blue jacket?
Is that Kingpin?
I was just thinking the same thing!
Wilson Fisk! God, his empire does stretch far.
That does? Oh my god, I never noticed that on the first read.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, forget Hell's Kitchen in New York, I'm going to Ventoine.
Yeah, right.
That's
there
untapped.
Shade shines there.
And of course, what do you see around the bar? Go ahead and say it. More bald-headed thugs.
More Wilson Fisks.
Yeah.
Why does Marvel not want to draw hair in this issue? I don't know.
Except for Han.
Yeah. That's about Han's wearing a hat.
They even left Chewbacca back. No more hair for Chewbacca either.
And they gave Han a hat.
Yeah.
Less hair.
How odd.
I think they're trying to say something in this issue about hair. All right. Now, Han asks the barkeep where he can get his hands on some illicit spices like the Sansana.
Real subtle there, Han.
All right. Hey, kids, look. Han's looking to score some drugs.
Yeah. How do you do, fellow kids?
Han then notices that everything went silent, and the barkeep smashes a bottle with a...
clash!
As he shouts, lousy Satab lover!
I will say, in the Star Wars universe, this is surprisingly the least violent bar interaction that Han has been a part of. At the very least, somebody didn't get their arms sliced off by a lightsaber, and someone didn't shoot first.
Also, Han really should have known that he would be recognized as an outsider because he has hair!
Yeah! And he's wearing green!
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right there. Come on, Han. Study the location, then try to blend in.
All right. Actually, Phil, why don't you read the next, instead of Klesh, what's after Klesh?
In case anyone's wondering
what
Satab is, I had to look this up because you can't just bypass this word. Satab is a monarch of Ventoine, Or, in our timeline, it's a company that produces ribbons, straps, braids, mesh, rigid or plastic, or elastic.
What? Okay,
so if anyone's wondering where a Satab is, it could be a Monarch, or it could be a company that produces straps.
You knew they were writing this, and they had to come up with a name for the Monarch, and the writer looked over, saw one of those plastic straps, and went, yeah.
Satab.
Yeah, no one on a podcast will be looking up this in 40 years.
It binds things together like he binds these people under his tyranny.
There you go.
Yeah, oh, wait, is that product placement? Is this the first
No, I'm not sponsored
placement?
By Satab. No.
All right, so then now, Phil, this is your turn. Han then smashes a bottle on the barkeep's head with a...
Planche!
Very good.
That's the way
I love the SH at the end.
That's the way I heard it in my head.
Me too.
Han then races out of the cantina with his cape flowing in the wind. The bar thugs are hot on his tail, but he tries to lose them in a crowd. The crowd is caused by Chrysala.
I say Chrysala.
Chrysala?
Because okay. He calls her Chris later.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Chrysala. We got it. Tyrus of Ventuine and chosen ward of the all-highest Satab.
Satab.
Now, she is being pulled in a Whiteford throne, and it's that's being pulled by a green unicorn.
Yeah, clearly.
I was going to say, she's very pretty, but I'm also a little distracted by her animal friend here.
Oh.
Like, that's a cool design for an alien.
Yeah, it really is. It's a really cool, the green and gold. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like a unicorn because it's got, like, a little weird horn.
Uh-huh.
It also doesn't have hooves. It looks like it has, like, flippers or something.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Half horse, half flipper. It's a unicorn flipper.
It's a seahorse.
Oh,
there you go. There you go. Now you got it.
Let's end the show right here.
Thank you.
He's here all week, everybody. All right, now, Sarah.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and explain her outfit?
You mean Chrysala, Tyrus of Ventuine? Her outfit.
I don't dare to, so you know, let's make it safe. And why don't you do it?
Take it away.
All right, well, yeah, so she has on a very low-waisted, long red skirt. Think like Cher low, you know, like that low. And her boobs are held up by some gravity-defying gold rings.
Didn't Madonna wear this on tour?
I think so. And
it looks like it.
And these rings aren't even attached to each other like a proper bra. They're just kind of like gravity-defying, kind of holding her breasts up.
Also, based on the coloring here, like it looks like she should be flashing us right now.
Yes,
I was when we flipped to this page and I first saw that panel, I really thought she was topless for a half second, and I was like, "Whoa, okay, there's things there. There's coverings."
It's very odd though, because it does look like there's just rings around her breasts, not the whole. It's not covering her whole breast.
I didn't notice. Please have that noted. I didn't notice that.
Meanwhile, Han's in the crowd like, I must marry her.
Leia Organa who?
Oh,
I don't know what it is. Right? There's just something about a metal bikini.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, on a nearby building, Vedder and another church monk, Faelif, are waiting as the throne passes, and Faelif can drop a bomb right into the smirking she-dog's lap.
Oh!
Vedder, he's not on board with the violence and wishes they could wait for the fulfillment of the foretelling, which is the prophecy that promises a being with ways and weapons far different than their own, a being who will help lift the yoke of the Satab's tyranny.
A being that will help lift me from a puddle that cavemen push me into. Wait a second!
Yes.
The prophecy was very specific on that score.
Yeah, that was weird.
But until then, they must do what they must do and assassinate members of the royal family. You know what? They push him down in a puddle. You know what? They kind of walked into this. You know what?
They have this coming.
Don't push someone in a puddle if you don't want to be assassinated, okay? We take
home
anything from
this. I stepped on my new
this.
Shoes. I'm going to set your house on fire.
I'm pretty sure this is exactly how the French Revolution kicked off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's what I learned in school.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right. Now Han sees this flipper animal, this seahorse that is pulling the throne, and thinks that a good idea is to hijack the animal in front of the whole town.
Because that makes sense.
But Han, as established by that bar interaction, Han is never a subtle individual.
No. But from the corner of his eye, he sees the bomb being thrown off the building. He draws his blaster and shoots it in midair with a...
Shucks! No, that was
bad. Shatch?
Shatch?
Shazatch.
Shazatch?
Shazam.
Shazam.
Shazats.
Okay.
Wow, suddenly that bomb turns into Captain Marvel.
Yes!
Nice.
It's just a bomb with a little cape and a lightning bolt on it.
And a boy becomes a man.
All right, save my girlfriend.
A guard comes at Han with his spear,
uh-oh,
ready to strike, when Cressella declares Han a hero since he just saved her from the insurgents.
Also, he has hair.
And he has hair, so hey, you know what? He's a hero.
Finally, I'm not the only one.
We Harrys gotta stick together.
Yeah.
Han is baffled, but goes along with it, which of course he's going to.
Well, yeah.
She pledges her undying gratitude and eternal protection of the Satab's hand. Han gets in her very comfy throne and settles in.
I'm sorry, Han is surprised at the fact he got called a hero? He shot a bomb out of the air and saved a royal consort. Of course he's going to get called a hero.
And he helped to blow up a Death Star.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
look at his resume. All right, then now she says, Cressella says,
my handsome rescuer and I will get to know each other better. A lot better.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. And Han is like, marry me. I never want to leave.
Han's settling back on the little, on her chase lounge. Yes.
Yeah, he's certainly ready for something. I don't know what that something is necessarily, but.
Andrew, take notes. To live this kind of life, as they're showing us, all we have to do is shoot a bomb.
And
that's
we see one of her hands. Don't know where the other hand
whoa
is. Come on. Hey, whoa, come on. Stop that. Who's saying this? Come
why
on.
Why are you paying attention to our hands so much?
No. It happened to our PG rating here. It's not me. It's them. Blame them. Okay. Carmen Infantino.
We didn't make the art. We didn't draw it.
That's true.
Vedder and another church monk watch as Han rides off with Cressella. For a moment, he almost thought that Han was the one in the foretelling, but the other churchman, who looks a lot like Robert De Niro. Say that I'm wrong.
He really
no,
does.
No, you are not.
He looks like Robert De Niro. And he says that if he stands between them and their goal, he will die.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which one of us can do the best Robert De Niro impression?
Not me.
Oh, God.
This one might be on you. I can try, but I think you do it better than I
really
would.
I don't know. Let me try it.
Maybe a spy on us.
He must die. No, I'm not there. It's not coming.
Yeah. That's as easy as it looks.
I didn't do
it. It is.
Vergara.
It's like a subtler voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have no clue.
Oh, yeah. Now we got to retcon this.
Uh-oh.
So Sarah's got to loop all her
oh,
lines
no
into Sofia Vergara's accent.
I don't know if I...
Oh, yeah.
You thought we forgot about that, didn't you?
I'm the one who brought it up. All right. I can't do it.
All right,
it.
You know what? Cressella's voice has already been set.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll
I will say,
on.
if she can't do a Colombian accent, we can't do... If she can't do a Sofia Vergara impression, we can't do a Robert De Niro impression.
Yeah.
Maybe a spy. Or unwittingly innocent. Whoever he is, stand between us and our absolute goal.
Okay, that was
possible.
That's the best I got.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Better than I could do, so yeah.
Thank you. It's just the face. It's the
yeah, exactly. Yeah. The mm-hmm eyebrows. All right, then Han and Cressella get to the palace. Han is amazed to see every elite mucky muck gathered around the table, set for a feast fit for a king. At the head of the table is the Satab, who calls for Han and Cressella to sit beside him.
Nice.
Now, do we all need to stand? We good? Okay, we'll
why
sit. I'll sit.
Oh,
it's the Satab.
Oh, okay.
We all
oh, yeah. Yes.
All right, now look
your
at
your Majesty, Highness, Holiness.
The tub. Where can I get some of those ribbons and braids that I heard so much about?
Yeah.
Have I mentioned I saved her life? That seems reward worthy.
All right, I wanna note here in the top panel, you see this door again. That it's like Ooh. That foreshadowing door that you see at the top of the episode
yeah.
at the top.
Yeah,
the cover.
The cover art.
The cover art. I was like, huh, that's interesting. It's not red yet. It's not orange or orange.
Orange. It's orange.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
It's not orange, but it's there.
Okay.
So something's happening there.
Okay. Something's going to go on. There's some foreshadowing.
Yes.
All right. Now, the Satab says that since Han risked his life to save Krasala, then he will have the best in food, drink, and entertainment.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. We stream the FIFA games here.
I'm not sure that's the kind of entertainment that Krasala is thinking, because look at that smirk on her face.
Who? Well.
She's thinking something else.
As long as she's into it, we're all about consent on This Is Getting Graphic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
She looks... What is up with her eyebrows? I just have to say. They kind of go up,
they're
and then they keep on going up.
They're Vulcan.
I must say.
Yeah.
They're Vulcan yes! eyebrows.
There you go. I love that.
All right. Just then, Faloff is brought in and shouts that they can torture him, but he will never renounce his beliefs for them. But the Satab doesn't want to torture him. He just wants to shake his hand. He puts one hand on a red medallion hanging around his neck and shakes Faloff's hand. Faloff screamed once, but that's all he had time for.
Oh.
The narration continues, because seconds later, he lay on the floor, muscles slack, teeth yellow, skin drawn and cracked like cheap parchment. A boy of maybe 18 years old, dead of old age.
Whoa. Oh, God, he got Shang Tsunged.
What's that?
Your soul is mine.
Oh. This brings me what's that from?
Oh, that's Mortal Kombat.
Shang Tsung? That's the video game Mortal Kombat. There's a character in it named Shang Tsung. Whenever he beats an opponent, his thing is he like sucks their soul out of their body. That's like his finishing move. His catchphrase is him going, "Your soul is mine," as he pulls it out of them.
That's amazing.
And that's kind of what they look like whenever he's done. They're like all shriveled and old looking.
My mind went to Last Crusade.
He
chose poorly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Han's just sitting there like, it's almost like I've seen this in another life.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of why my mind
went
there.
Wearing this hat.
All right. Now, as guards drag Faloff off, the narration reads, and those slugs sitting around the table just cackled and clapped like somebody's told an off-color joke.
And I see that dude, guy at the top there, has a bit of a drinking problem, a la
I was
Airplane.
Gonna say, that guy cannot handle his wine.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll consider that the off-color joke. He's spilling purple wine on a green shirt. That's the off-color joke. Well, we'll leave it at that. Satab asks Han to see his blaster. Han is skeptical to give up his only means of self-defense until four spears are thrust in his face.
I love
you make
this.
A compelling argument, Your Highness.
This reminds me of the Ewoks.
Yeah.
I like totally
Han,
thought of the Ewoks.
Give him your blaster. All right.
And the Satab takes it and sucks the youth out of his blaster.
It gets old and rusty and just...
I will Benjamin Button your blaster.
No!
I also love like his dialogue here when the spears go in his face, because he's just like, "Here you go, take good care of it, will you? It was a gift from my mom."
That's all so right. Random.
Han then notices that another guest is sprinkling Sansana on his food, and he thinks to himself, "Now that I know where it is, I know where it's going to be at this time tomorrow, with me on board the Millennium Falcon."
I really appreciate Han narrating this for us.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Right?
He's doing his podcast. So... That night, Han sneaks past the guards to find the Sansana. Suddenly, Krasala pops out of nowhere and freaks him out.
I love these panels here. They're so fun, and it almost looks like Han has taken a page from Batman.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
That's a Tim Burton angle right over there.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool.
All right. Now, she says, oh, you got to read this line.
Oh,
you don't
no.
need to read it like Sofia Vergara.
Okay, are you sure?
I'm
okay.
positive. But if you want to, you can.
I'm going to default.
Read it like Robert De Niro.
Yeah. I was going to say, Chrisella looks like she went through some plastic surgery yes. between last night and this morning.
Yes. Okay. I thought you might come to me, Captain. I'm most flattered.
Hey, that was good.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Where's Han looking in that middle
Whoa!
Panel?
Whoa!
Where's
what
he
are we talking about?
He's not even being subtle about it. Like, that, no. that eye line is right there.
He's not looking into her eyes, I can tell you that for sure.
Well, all I know is I feel like this has now become a horror comic because, I mean, look at her face in this top yeah. panel here. With her eyebrows way up like this.
Even Spock would be like, okay, calm it down with the eyebrows.
Yeah.
They're about to crazy. Go all the way around, like spinning in place.
One thing I will say, too, is if these are her, like, it's the night here, so if these are her pajamas, if she's getting ready for bed, she's wearing more than when she went out in public.
Yeah!
That
she's
is very
less
true.
Comfortable.
Yeah, I guess you can't really wear a metal bikini.
No, when you're sleeping.
Not that I know, no. okay? Not that I know. I'm not speaking from experience, sure, but those are very sure. uncomfortable to wear at night, okay? Let's move on. Now, as Chrisella sees approaching guards, she pulls Han into her room. I bet she did.
I want to show
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And she says, I want to show you the sunrise from my terrace.
I bet you do.
Okay, it's night right here, so sunrise is not for another couple hours. What are we going to do to fill those? Let's move on.
Yeah.
No.
We know how Han
she sits
operates.
Him down. They're just playing Parcheesi for the next 6 hours.
Well, Han actually says back to her, sunrise. Well, Andrew.
Well, Andrew, you take this next Han Solo line.
You got the Harrison Ford voice.
The sunrise line.
Got it. Sunrise, but the sun won't be up for another 6 hours.
I know.
<Ooh.
laughs> She says.
Okay, now this is what I was referring to at the beginning of the segment here. I think this is the origins of the I know theme.
Oh.
I love
oh,
you.
Oh, shoot.
Okay.
Now, but wait a minute.
I like that.
It wouldn't be the origins because already we've
he
had
already set
Star Trek's back. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is the continuation.
Continuation,
of
yes.
Yeah, I know.
It's
there you go.
Becoming iconic.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, he heard that and he was like, wow, that's really cool. I should say that to a woman someday. I bet she'll be really into it.
Oh, man, I already did.
The origins of a female saying it to Han.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
That's what I was referring to.
Perfect.
I'll change it in the notes. All right, now, as Han and Chrisella are racing Whoa. Through the hallways of the palace, they are being watched by the Sitab. He watches them through the shade shine, which enables him to see a projected image of them. Now, doesn't this look like the method Aquaman would call sea life?
Yes! All of a sudden, a bunch of sperm whales come exploding through the wall. What is going on?
Just like Kool-Aid Man. It's like, you called?
Oops, sorry, boys.
No, it was another method. I was, you guys go back, okay? I was doing something else.
Now I do have to say, like this page turn is like very jarring because it doesn't look like the rest of the comic. You know, you got all these reds and stuff, but and then all of a sudden it looks like something from Vertigo.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
If Aquaman had Vertigo, it would look like this
exactly.
Now, my question is, what does the shade shine actually do?
What?
Is it just a crystal ball, or is it kind of more than that?
You know what?
We got to keep reading.
You know what? You'll see soon enough,
Ooh.
But we kind of got a little hint of what this shade shine can do, and it ain't pretty.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, God. Okay.
This Atab tells his assistant, Plodget. Now, what do you think this guy looks like, this green guy?
Oh, the
Swamp
green
thing.
I was gonna say he kind of looks like a He-Man villain.
Oh,
he looks like
bit,
a servant
yeah.
of Skeletor with like the strap, like half vest.
Oh, I can see that.
Okay,
like Merman or whatever
the
that
green
guy
is. Right?
Did like Fishman.
Did they ever make Plagget into an action figure? Did Kenner ever get that guy?
No. Oh my goodness. But you know what you can do? You can go get a creature from the Black Lagoon and shorten his legs and put the He-Man straps on him, and there you got your Plagget action figure. Done.
Take notes, listeners.
All right, then Plodget says that he may be the perfect candidate for the next one.
What does it mean?
Ooh. No, there is another.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. Now
he will do wonderfully in the next FIFA game.
She put on another top!
Yeah! She came back and changed.
Well, it is morning, so I don't know what she
So she probably needed one.
I don't know what she was doing to that she would need a new top. You know what? That's what the imagination was.
I mean, Han's vest is off. I don't
When Han's vest goes off, don't come a knocking.
I would like to point out, she also did her hair. That's a totally different hairstyle, too.
It is, yeah.
So we're now back in Chrysalis' room. She's all sprawled out on this white fur couch. Now, where's all this white fur coming from? What creature had to sacrifice themselves?
They have like a Wampa reservation somewhere. They're just like,
oh, it's so hot on this planet. That's so inhumane.
I know what it is. Everyone has white hair on their head, but they all shave it off and donate it to the
tops. That's it. That's it. You got it.
Sarah just retconned the whole hair.
You're
issue.
A monster. How dare you?
But now Han is focused on the rock that the Satab wears around his neck, which gives him the power of the Shade Shine.
Mm. Oh, there it is.
There you go.
As soon as you said focused on the rock, I went, Geode? He's here too?
Yep.
We wish. Is this Shade Shine anything like the Force I've heard about that I don't believe in?
I don't believe in.
Now, seeing that he is focused on this, she proceeds to give Han the background of the Satab.
Oh, however you want to say it.
Satab, okay.
Han, Han.
Satab.
Yeah. Now, he is the latest of their yearly rulers who have made use of the Shade Shine. So, after physical contact, the stone heightens one's senses, such as sight and touch, into transmitters as well as receivers. The Satab use this power to send Faelof's metabolism racing, aging him decades in seconds.
Hmm.
Whoa.
I'm a little hung up on the phrasing of one of our yearly rulers. Is this like the alien planet in Futurama where there's like a different ruler every 3 days?
Yes.
Because the previous ruler keeps getting bumped off.
So now we see what's going on here. Every year there's a new Satab, whatever side of the sidewalk you're from.
Yeah. This also, Phil, you reminded me of the Strange New Worlds, one of the episodes of Children of the God or Children, like where there's a planet that's run by the child.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Every so often
okay.
they have to like replace the child who's in there.
Yep.
But now, but Han, he's in line for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But now, where do all these Satabs go when their yearly rule has ended?
I guess we're going to find out.
You know, this is a little off the point, I would say. But I imagine Satab election season. Like, imagine the smear campaign commercials that are just put on Ventuine TV or whatever. Just like...
Viralax will only age people 20 years if he's in charge. I am Satab and I approve this message.
So then Han asks her, so why do you stay with him?
Yeah.
And she tells him that she was just a poor peasant, and all she has to do is give him companionship.
In cute little outfits, I guess. Now, we don't ever see her green heels, though. I'm a little upset about this.
Hold on, we're not at the end right now.
Okay. Wait,
hold on, we have another 60 pages to go. Now, later on, the Satab takes Han, Chrysala, and the others out to see some of the local sites. They stop at a cavern where the Satab wants to show Han something he might find educational.
Hmm.
What does Han have against using stairs? Why is he always scaling and climbing things?
Because apparently he wasn't supposed to be out of his apartments. There was a guard there.
Yeah, so he's like Aladdining this.
Yes.
The worst guard on Ventuine.
Hey, Mr. Solo, you still okay in there? He sure is quiet.
Gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat, tell you all about it when I got the time. Just jumping off the thing.
I love it.
Womp rat!
All right, nice. Now, they come upon several workers cutting through the rock walls with mineral tools. The Satab wants to show Han something a little further and tells Chrysala to stay back. Oh, this can't be good. This can't be good at all.
No.
He signals Plodget, who throws a switch, which releases a large purple monster. So
a giant purple people eater.
Imagine a really angry grimace.
You all took my shakes.
Now, Grimace, wait, is Grimace from
McDonald's?
McDonald's.
He's
he
one
has
of the original
okay, okay.
characters wow. in the McDonald family.
He's so funny. All right.
He's making a comeback. So I guess he's having like a 90th birthday. So now everyone is Grimace crazy again.
Absolutely.
He looks good for his age.
He does. All right. Well, Han needs to take matters into his hands now because he's always there saving the day, right?
He's got
to
be a hero.
So he throws a spear, and we turn the page, and the spear cuts through a stalactite, which then sends it dropping into the Grimace's neck.
Oh, so that's where Luke got the idea in Return of the Jedi.
There we go.
This was like an unnecessary step. Why not just hit him with the spear?
That's what I thought. So, yes, I was reading this comic, and I like... looked at this page, and then I looked at this page, and I'm like, wait, what happened? Well, and I had to go back, because it's on a page turn that he throws the spear, and then the spear hits its target, and I don't like that. Like, I don't like how it was an odd choice.
Right, but sure,
don't worry, guys, I'll take this guy down, and he, like, activates a mouse trap, which knocks over a series of dominoes, which throws a ping pong ball onto a cup, which weighs down.
Yes.
Which slings a candlestick at the stalactite, and
I'm a Rube Goldberg this thing.
Now, with how good that throw was, is Han going to be trying out for the Galactic Olympic team anytime soon? Because he could be like a heck of a javelin champion right here.
Well, he will now.
I'd watch those Olympics.
I would too. That's
so
awesome.
So what we need to do, get that Rancor scene from Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
And as Luke is looking at the skull, we cut in these pages.
Yeah.
That's
wait
it.
So there you go. I remember what Han was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts back to Han in Jabba's palace, just rookie move.
Yeah, just imagine, like, because remember, Luke, Lando, and 3PO are all listening to this narration, so he's just like,
and then I picked up a spear and did a really dope move where I threw it through a stalactite and it just slammed right into this giant purple people eater. Trust me, it looked awesome.
I can't stress enough how sick this was.
All right, now the Zatab is pleased at Han's survival skills. He now believes they found the perfect choice for the next Zatab.
Uh-oh.
The Zatab claims that Han Solo will be a good choice to replace him. But look at him. He's got hair. He cannot properly represent the interests of Ventuine.
That's he hasn't right. shaved it for our furniture yet.
Blodget, go get my Gillette. All right, now,
I am Zatab and I approve this message.
A worker spy hears this and reports to Vedder. Vedder tells the council that they have to end the evil reign before the change of power tonight.
Tonight.
Dun, dun, dun.
Whoa.
All right. It always has to be that night.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, what were
it
they
can't
gonna,
be in a week.
What were they going to do if Han hadn't shown up? Like, did he have a backup Zatab? Was it going to be, like, Plodget or whatever? Or?
Hey, Plodget, guess what? Good news, bad news, Plodget.
You're bald, you'll do.
Yeah. That's a very good question, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, And why does the change of power have to be tonight?
Because, for dramatic purposes.
Oh, okay, I get it.
So, that night, Han is summoned to a ceremony where the Zatab and a bunch of hooded acolytes are waiting.
Ooh.
All coming back to the acolytes.
Yeah.
The Zatab tells Han that after the courage he showed in the cavern, he proved to be a worthy participant. Therefore, he is sharing the wonders of the Shade Shine with him.
Ooh.
But first, they must deal with some uninvited hooded guests. And Vedder and one of his monks are one of those hooded acolytes.
Oh, no.
No.
Caught in the act.
Now, can you tell, like, hey, we got guys in purple robes and guys in red robes. Is the red robes the infiltrators?
I was going to say, you know these guys saw a group of purple robes and went, oh, man.
Yeah.
The invoice said red. Dang it, Ventrilius, you said it would be red robes.
So clearly this guy's standing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just act casual.
All right, then Cressella shouts,
"No!" and grabs Han's blaster.
And Han says to himself, "Cressella, she's gotten a hold of my blaster. Not that she knows how to hit anything with it."
Come on, Han. Come on, Han.
See her shoot?
Yeah.
No.
You don't know. And I mean, is this before Han met Leia? Come on. Leia's real good with a blaster.
She can hit a stalagmite as good as anyone else can.
Yeah. What is the placement of this story in Han's timeline? I think I'm a little unclear on that. Like, has he joined the rebellion or is he just doing his smuggling stuff at this point?
It would make sense that it would be before Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because having seen what Leia can do with a blaster.
Right. Now he's looking at a woman being like, "Oh, you can't shoot. You're a woman." It's like, come on, Han. Slap, slap, slap.
Well deserved.
So I want to take this moment to say sorry to all the ladies out there.
We accept.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank
you. It's the writer's fault.
Mm-hmm. It's the early 80s.
It's true.
Now, in the chaos, Han grabs the shade shine, and he and Cressella race away. The Satab witnesses this and knows he will have to deal with Cressella most severely after he's dealt with that alien fool. And by alien fool, he means Han Solo. It's like, wait, we're all the same race here. You don't need to call me an alien, you alienist.
You think I'm an alien fool? You should see what I got back at the Millennium Falcon. I've left him with the door cracked for about 4 days now.
Yeah, I'm sure Chewie's like looking at the clock like, where is he?
He's bouncing a ball against the wall and catching it over and over again.
Well, he's got to be upset. I mean, he has a life debt to Han. He wants to protect him. And
yeah, right? But still, how long can you be left alone before it's like, okay, life debt is off, I'm out.
Yeah.
He left the keys in the ignition. I can fly away.
Yeah, Han, just page me, okay? Page me when you're when you're back. I'll return, I promise. All right.
I was going to say the guards find Chewie and they're like, "Oh my god, so much furniture."
So many chase lounges.
Oh, but look at all the hair. Do we treat him as a god or as furniture?
Han gets back and Chewie is shaved from head to toe. Like, our life debt is off, you jerk! What did they get to me?
That would be so crazy.
Oh, that's a riot. Okay. It's funny to us, it's not to Chewie.
No.
All right. Han then tells Cressella that he's going back for the Shade Shine Stone since it'll bring him a higher price than all the Sansana on the planet. Now,
there it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think this is before Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's reverting back to his old smuggler days.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, this is not the Han Solo that just saved the galaxy.
Right, this is the one big score Han Solo.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Cressella
tells... Plus, I mean, if I don't get anything from this, I'm going to have to go back to work for Jabba the Hutt. And, you know, no good can come of that.
No.
Spoiler alert, that doesn't work out well for me in the future.
Cressella tells Han that the Shade Shine Stone takes a terrible toll on anyone who touches it, and eventually they burn out, which is why the Satab has to find a successor. Well, he only has a matter of hours now. All the previous Satabs have gone into suspended animation with the hopes that the effects can be reversed.
Hmm.
And this is Han's fate if he takes the Shade Shine Stone and becomes the new Satab.
Wow, so okay. Even if he touches it, right?
If he touches it, then his life is cursed.
Ugh.
So he can't touch it, okay? So remember that for later on.
I don't want to question the culture of Ventuine, but when the first Satab realized what the stone could do, why didn't he just smash it?
That's a very good question.
It brings a lot of power. Only for 365 rotations.
Right.
I suppose. I think the cons outweigh the pros on this one, but that's just me.
I mean, imagine him finding out on day 365, like, he just, like, keels over and somebody comes in like, "Oh no, Satab! Ooh, shiny! Oh!"
And I'm locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah, then the new guy's like, "Hey, Bob, come here for a second. Plodget, come over here. Touch this."
Yeah, put her there, buddy. Ah, gotcha.
Ah, it's
yeah.
Yours now.
Sucker. Well, I think the whole point is they're naming a new Satab who will try to analyze and figure out a way to reverse this thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
still keep
why.
The power.
You and
right.
Your darn logic.
Well, that's what they explain in the comic. I'm only saying that.
No, that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
Right.
All right, but Han, he needs a couple of seconds to take all this in. This is way too much information and exposition.
All right, but before we move on to the next page, I have to zoom in here to the top left panel where Crisala is
there
up
it
in
is.
Here.
There it is.
Really looks like Leia's metal bikini here. So
now, here's a question. You said this came out in 1982.
Yes.
So more likely than not, George Lucas and his crew were well in the throes of filming Return of the Jedi. So do you think somebody picked this comic up off the rack, looked at this, and went, is somebody leaking things? What's going on?
I know it was you!
Yeah, I
Carrie,
don't know.
Get Miss Fisher in here. Carrie, did you not sign an NDA or not?
George, it might have been me, but in my defense, I've never been okay with this costume.
but you know, in her defense, in Carrie's defense, she did wear a gold bikini in Saturday Night Live in 1978.
Oh, it's
not
this
one.
Yeah, not this one.
But yeah, but this, I mean, it's so similar. I feel like, did the artists here at Marvel have access to any photos or dailies of the movie?
Well, I just think, you know, this is for Marvel in the day, scantily clad was the way to go.
Yeah.
And no, that's true. That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, now, Crisala then takes Han into the Hall of Satabs. A place where
the
leaders go. Yes, this is where they go when they are near death. So now it all makes sense.
Yep.
But, okay, hold on. If they enter the hall, then they will be rendered immobile, floating in a state of sleep-like suspension, like the other Satabs.
I would like to point out that all the Satabs look exactly the same. So what I'm wondering is, when they need a new Satab, do they just put in a call to somebody on Kamino or something? Just to be like, hey, we're going to need another Satab.
You know that Kojak DNA? Can you put that back
in
motion?
That would be a phenomenal racket for Kamino to run. Like, it would solve Ventuine's problem, and Kamino would make some good cash on the side.
There you go.
Make some credits.
Oh, that's a win-win for everyone but the Satabs. Now, as they peek in, they see many red-robed Satabs floating in the air. And of course, this is like the
cover art.
So this now goes, okay, now I see why they're floating. Now it all makes sense. Mm-hmm. But look in the deck down below. Is Han Solo wearing an N95 COVID mask?
Oh, yeah.
Does look like that.
I think he is. So Han is trying to tell us something way back in 1982.
Oh.
We just didn't listen.
Well, that's you guys bad. Don't know that is a symptom of COVID-19. You know, it's the trouble breathing. It's the sinus blockage. It's the floating 7 feet off the air, 7 feet off the ground.
Oh, boy.
That's
now,
so funny.
Suddenly, the Satab appears right behind them, holding up the Shade Shine Stone.
Mm.
Now, that is the name of a new cover band, the Shade Shine Stones. Not the Rolling Stones, it's the Shade Shine Stones.
Which you can't say.
I like that.
Yeah.
I can't get no.
Shade Shine Stone.
Can't get no Sansana.
there we go.
But then Han draws his blaster, which the Satab destroys with the help of the Shade Shine Stone.
Not his
blaster. Okay.
I'm starting to see why we like this rock.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So Han throws this large stone statue head at the Satab. How? That looks like it's really heavy. This is where you need Chewbacca.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need Chewie for this kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's confusing the Satab because he says, what? I didn't expect a physical attack? Then what were you expecting then? What were you expecting? How did you see this play out?
Yeah.
Were you going to play a game of chess? Is that what you were prepared for?
Would Han attack without a weapon? Like the Acolyte?
No. A rock is a weapon. If it's a geode, if it's a boulder. Han says, take your rolling boulders out of here.
Again, cut to Chewie back at the Falcon, just bouncing a yo-yo up and down. Sure wish I could throw some rocks at some dudes right now.
All right, now in midair, the Satab tosses it back and blows it up, sending debris everywhere.
Oh, man.
Suddenly, the Satab's hand bursts into flames.
Uh-oh.
He turns around to see that Crisala has the stone.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Crisala, no. Lightning shoots from her hand, which shoots toward the Satab. He deflects it and sends the fire stream back at her.
And I gotta say, awesome, Chrysala. Taking some action here. I like this.
But now, yeah, but now, proactive. It,
and right now, Palpatine is saying, ooh, I could use that in the future.
Oh. Hello, I have here a lawsuit for Sith copyright infringement.
He would. That's some evil bureaucratic stuff right there.
Oh, all right, now. Wow. The Zatab senses are heightened to the point where he knows his sudden fate. He races for the Hall of Zatabs, but Han tosses a boulder, which knocks him over. Always with
my
the boulders.
Weakness!
Those boulders! Those geodes!
The Zatab turns black as he burns from the inside.
Ew.
And then with a sun cloud of stench and smoke, like a backfiring sandcrawler, he was gone.
Oh my gosh. What happened to the PG rating on this show?
I know. This progression of panels on this page, there's six of them. The Zatab is like, you know, glowing. Then he's holding his head. Then he's mouthing off to the sky. And yeah, then he blows up.
He's just a smoldering pile of charcoal on that last page.
Yeah.
Yeah, but according to the narration, it stinks. There's a stench to it.
Oh.
I don't want to be smelling no rotting flesh.
No.
Well, you know, I've heard that things release whenever you pass away, so.
Oh, boy.
Maybe that's what happened right before he burst into flames.
All right, then.
With that, I know.
Vedder and the other monks race in and tell Han that he is the savior spoken of in the foretelling.
I'm sorry, Chrysala is the one that threw lightning at the guy.
Yeah, that's very true.
But she's not a male.
Oh. Apologies to the female Skywalkers again.
We are very sorry, okay? It was the early 1980s. Shouldn't have been done then. Shouldn't be done now.
No.
All right, now Han wants to celebrate. That'll keep the whole planet hungover for a week.
Nice.
Did we all do that in college?
Yes.
Yeah.
However, Chrysala, she cannot go. She touched the shade shine, which means her fate will be like the Zatab. And if she doesn't enter the suspension chamber, she will ultimately die in agony. There is no room to prolong the parting. And before she kisses Han, she promises that she will dream of him long in her slumber.
So, if Chrysala is entering into the suspended animation chamber at this point, we're essentially toppling the entire government of Ventuine at this point. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so Plodget, guess what?
You're up, buddy.
Okay, this is what I don't get. She should have 365 days to like use her power and do stuff. And she's like, "Nope, I'm going to enter the chamber now." I don't understand.
What they don't tell her is she has to shave her head first.
Oh.
Yeah, before you enter the chamber, here's a Bic. The ladies' room is just down the hall.
I hate this planet.
She walks then into the chamber, and the large door is closed with a crack-like sound of a breaking heart.
That was very poetic.
Yeah, very. Han.
That is tragic.
That's my heart is breaking right now. That really got to me.
That's very poetic. I like it.
Han then heads back to the Falcon to make this record of his adventure and says that Vedder gave him the shade shine for safekeeping.
Whoa! What? Did he have to touch it?
What happened there?
I don't see Han wearing gloves with this.
No.
Exactly.
I hope he did.
And he, but then Vedder says, Han, you'll know what to do with this.
Okay.
No, he won't. He wants to sell it.
All right, but Han is on the up and up here. He's learned from all of his experiences because he puts the shade shine in the Falcon's thrust tubes when he blasts away, and the stone is vaporized. Which ends the Zatab's micro-minded reign.
There you go.
So.
Are the monks just like a democracy now, or?
That's a very good question, and one that this comic does not answer.
Vedder walks out of the Satab's palace just like, all right, everybody, we are going to be making some changes around here. This is now a theocracy.
Rule number one, red robes are in.
Yep.
Yeah, and everyone must now grow their hair back. Everyone, even you, Kojak.
There you go.
I like this new ruler.
Yeah, maybe we'll take Chrysala out of the chamber of suspension and leave the other guys in there. And, you know, let's roll that purple people eater in there with him. It'll take care of itself.
There we go.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't die in that stalactite piercing of his jugular.
Oh.
Ooh.
Side note here. When Han gets back to the Falcon with this weird gem that probably he has wrapped up in something or whatever so that he doesn't touch it or whatever, what did Chewie think? Like, did Han tell him anything about this, or did he just go, we're gonna put this thing in the engine right now, Chewie, otherwise I'm gonna die in a year.
And Chewie's like, hey, can I see this?
Chewie, no!
Don't do it, Chewie.
All right, now we are back to the present day with Luke, Lando, and 3PO, and Vedder, he's there too, and Vedder turns off the recording of Han's voice. Suddenly, Luke, with a now very coiffed hair and very long eyelashes.
He's incredibly pretty on this page.
Yes, he is. He hears incoming boots on Flagstone and comes up with an idea. Right then, stormtroopers rush into the palace. A voice comes from a darkened room. If you want us, Bantha Breath, then come get us.
Is that Luke?
Yes.
Ah.
Now, if these stormtroopers, if they saw Home Alone, they would know this is a trap.
You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
Around the corner, there's a bunch of miniature, like, cars on the ground. That they all
paint buckets, broken Christmas tree ornaments. Yeah,
don't worry, guys. Captain, I'll get them.
All right, now, two troopers enter and suddenly feel woozy. The third trooper declares, holy crud, I ain't going in there.
I love this. Yeah. I love this so much, this one trooper.
He's a smart trooper.
Yep.
He's got a greater survival instinct than anyone else in the Imperial Army.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's a better shot. Who knows?
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
you are not appreciated enough, trooper number X-413.
All right, just then, Luke leaps down and knocks the trooper inside. Kevin-like. Kevin McAllister coming to the rescue. All right, now the troopers and the Satabs are all suspended in the Hall of the Satabs. This should have been the image on the cover art. Mm. If I had seen this as a kid, like, give me this issue right now.
Was it the Stormtroopers?
Yeah.
Yes, you see Stormtroopers in there with the Kojaks.
Okay.
Which, you know who we don't see right now? Chrysala.
We don't see Chrysala, but then we turn the page.
Oh.
No!
Now, C-3PO comments that Luke had a brilliant plan of recording his voice on a memory stone to lure the troopers inside. So he told you what had happened in case you weren't following the whole Echo Stone thing.
Yes.
Now, Luke says he was inspired by Han's story, and Lando says that Han wouldn't have lived to tell the tale if it hadn't been for her. And they all look up to see Chrysala suspended with the other Satabs.
Aww.
I am very heartbroken to see Chrysala here, but I'm also like, who's the nerd in the blue robe on the
top?
Yeah,
really? He did not get the memo. Yeah.
No.
That guy was Satab for 4 days, and they shoved him in there. He couldn't get on board with the red robes.
So, yeah, man, this
sorry,
is like,
you're out.
This suspension chamber is really good for your enemies. It's like, you're annoyed at anyone? Just, hey, come on over here. I want to show you something.
You're not killing them. You're putting it in them in
suspended animation.
Yeah, suspended animation. Yeah. Okay. Now, with their adventure over, the heroes blast away in a single Y-Wing. Not sure how three of them fit in a two-person starfighter, but you know what? That's up for canon to argue about.
Yeah.
If you zoom in on this panel, you can see 3PO hanging off the back. Just,
it's about the same level of respect they give him usually, so, yeah.
Right.
Very true.
Poor 3PO.
And now, if you look deeper, you'll see the looming heads of Han Solo and Chrysala floating among the stars.
This is so creepy.
It also appears
panel.
That Han is slowly turning into a chipmunk based on those teeth.
Yeah.
And he's also turning into one of the Osmonds with his big,
yes!
giant collar. Although they leave without obtaining the shade shine, they do leave with a special feeling of having had their lives touched once more by an old friend and by a new one. The end.
I just want there to be one more page, and it's just a single shot of Han in carbonite.
Oh.
Just in case you forgot where he was.
I'm sure wherever Han is right now, he's smiling down on us.
Oh, nice.
All right. With that, let's now talk about our favorites in this issue.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go with Andrew's name starts with an A and Phil starts with a P, so we'll go with Andrew first and then
alphabetical order. Love it.
So favorite panel.
What's your favorite panel in this issue?
My favorite panel is undoubtedly the splash page where they walk in on the giant gold statue of Han. And just him standing there in that Superman pose, the framing of everything. It's a great, great page. I love it. Carmine Infantino did some good work with that one. Love it.
There you go.
That's the one.
There we go.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah!
All right, Phil, what is your favorite panel in this issue?
My favorite panel, it's actually kind of a series of panels, but as horrifying as it was, I kind of really liked the Satab's final death at the end. Mm. I love this grand dramatic, like, no, the stone! And his stumbling, arms up, head in his hands, and then finally bursting into flames. It's very, it's a good, like, it's a little violent for Disney, but it makes me think of like Dr. Facilier in Princess and the Frog. How am I ever going to pay back my debt? And it's this big like ramp up until finally he gets sucked down through the portal. That's the kind of the vibe I get from this. So
nice.
It's a good big dramatic ending for a villain.
I like that. That's a good choice. All Richard, right. What about you?
I'm going to go with on page 36, we see Luke, Lando, and 3PO looking into the hall of Satab's that now includes the stormtroopers. Why wasn't this the cover art?
That is good art.
I bought the issue irregardlessly.
Right.
But still, had I seen this, maybe I would have read it instead of looking at the pictures.
True.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sarah.
Yeah, for me, I really like page 31 when Chrysalis decides to fight back.
Ooh.
And I just love the movement on this panel and how, you know, she and the Satab are like trading barbs over here and she's got her lightning bolt and it just looks really cool. And she's got the
cape.
She looks like Wonder Woman, I think.
Okay, I can see that.
I like it.
All right, now let's move on to the favorite line of dialogue or narration. And Phil, let's start with you this time.
I think the one that really sticks out to me is I love, wait, that's Han? Han Solo? For the exact reason we talked about, which is, how many other Hans do you know?
Yeah.
That really stuck with me. Just like, wow, Luke. Come on, buddy. Like, how many Hans have you met, especially on somewhere like Tatooine?
Well, I mean, you have to remember Hans Olo, who we met in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew.
So, I don't know if it was one that we read in this initial thing, but when I was reading it, it was on the page, like, right after when Vetter shows up and is talking about, that's Han Solo, the savior of our planet. And Luke says something to the effect of, why do you have a statue of Han, the famous smuggler turned rebel hero? And I'm just like, well, thanks for reminding us who that was, Luke. I appreciate that. So it's just that ham-fisted exposition I really enjoyed.
Yeah, and all characters will look at the readers like, is everyone on the same page now? Are we all good?
Yeah.
Okay,
looking
good.
Out at the listener.
I know in 82, Star Wars was like on the periphery. Like, Star Wars, what now? Oh, there's a new Star Wars coming out? Revenge of the Jedi? No, it was still on top of everyone's minds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Sarah.
All right, for me, let's see, the favorite line of dialogue or narration?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to have you go first because our next ones tie into each other, so
okay.
you go first.
All right, I'm going to go to page 28 when Han says, and I saw Satabs, hundreds of them, all floating like ugly stars in a nightmare sky. That's a good line.
Yeah.
That's very
ugly
poetic.
Stars in a nightmare sky. That's such a heavy metal lyric.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I can see Harrison Ford looking at this going, all right, guys, at Marvel, you can type this, you just can't say it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, my favorite line of dialogue or narration is on page 2 when C-3PO is saying, I do apologize, Master Luke, but my mobility circuits just weren't designed for hairbreadth escapes.
See, you can say that, I can't. Hairbreadth escapes.
Why do we take you anywhere?
Right? We left Han left Chewie behind, but we brought you.
I just think that was so... It made me laugh out loud. I was reading this comic, and I just laughed out loud.
Even Anthony
favorite.
Daniels would be like, no, I ain't saying that. 3PO would never say that.
All right, so Richard, this ties in. Okay, so your most non-Star Wars moment. What's your most non-Star Wars moment?
I'm going to go to the same page. Don't turn it.
Okay.
This is when C-3PO apologizes for his lack of mobility, since his circuits weren't designed for hairbreadth escapes. That's my most non-Star Wars moment in this issue. So you see how this marriage works.
Yeah.
The yin and the yang.
That's true.
I love that.
So what is your most non-Star Wars moment?
Okay, mine would be on page 7 where we first see Han Solo dressed in his green with the scarecrow hat on. And he looks like the scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz. Come on. Look at that.
Okay. We do this on our show all the time where I'll accidentally predict the future in comics.
Yeah,
you did it. You did it. This
That's
is totally
so
the scarecrow.
Good.
Nice.
Wow.
All right, Andrew, what is your most non-Star Wars moment?
Okay, it's gonna be a little bit weird here, but the whole time I was just thinking, is the shade shine connected to the Force in any way? Because it seems to be giving a lot of the same kind of Force effects, you know? Like, throwing things around, or shocking people, or, I guess, draining the life out of people if you include, like, video games and stuff like that in here. So, I guess, like, the fact that the shade shine was in no way related to anything else in Star Wars and was just kind of its own little thing, that's what I would have to give it to, in all honesty.
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'll buy that.
Okay.
I really thought that was kind of tied into the Force myself. I was like, this feels odd that this is just a random magic stone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Phil.
Did you have any?
Tied into yours a little bit, Andrew.
Okay.
Mine is the moment of, and I haven't played a ton of the games, so you mentioned this might be in the games, the moment where the Setab sucks the life out of an 18-year-old boy. It's just like, there's some brutal things that happen in Star Wars. I'm not debating that.
Right.
But to see this like 18-year-old rebel grabbing him by the neck and just draining the life away from him, turning him into the shriveled husk, that really felt like, oh my god, this has gone beyond Star Wars. I make the Mortal Kombat joke. I'm like, this is some Mortal Kombat stuff right here. This has gotten very violent.
Yeah, we'll leave it to the Indiana Jones franchise, but keep all that out
right.
of Star Wars. The age progressing within seconds out of Star Wars.
We get lightsabers, but nothing like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are, and again, this is connecting to, like, the video games I mentioned before. One I'm thinking of in particular, Knights of the Old Republic. Mm. There is a dark side force power in that game that's called, like, Drain Life or whatever. So, like, a Force user is able to raise their hand and, like, this orange light comes out of it and, like, heals them but, like, causes damage to the opponent. And it's in Star Wars, kind of, but
this isn't connected to the Force. We've established this.
Yeah.
This is something totally different. Totally.
Wow.
Out of the mystical realms of the
Force. Yeah, definitely. The shade shine is its own thing. In fact, this whole planet had, like, stones, minerals that, like, did things when you touched them or touched other minerals to other minerals. So it was a very interesting idea for a planet.
But the planet
Ventuine's just a wacky place.
It's like there's Tatooine and Ventuine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take my chances on Tatooine with the twin suns.
Yeah, I'll take the desert over maybe stumbling into a suspended animation chamber.
Yeah, don't Benjamin Button me.
What's in here? Is this a supply closet? Just float away.
We lose more custodians in the Satav's palace this way.
Like, all the Satav's, and then just a janitor floats by.
Oh. A suspended animation mop and bucket, just like.
Yeah. Oh, Oh, Steve, I thought you quit.
And he has that look like, oh. On his face. To tie into to Aunt May.
Oh, what about it?
At the end of Spider-Man.
Oh, at the end of Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What the
Yep.
So when he's released, he'll finish the word.
I got it. Yeah, there you go.
Oh boy,
Chrysala, this... yeah, comes out of the chamber. At last, we former Satabs are no longer bound by the shade shine and will bring gloriousness to a new Ventuine. Steve, can you get on mopping up the one puddle for Miles?
You've had the year off. Get back to work. Yeah. All right, guys, this has been nothing short of a fantastic time.
Yeah.
And we're so happy you were able to join us. This has been
We had an amazing time with you guys as well. Thanks so much for having us on here.
I don't know when we've laughed this much.
I know.
Doing one of these issues of classic Marvel Star Wars comics. Now, if the Skywalkers want to reach out to you and listen to your show, how do they reach out to you and how do they listen to This Is So Graphic? This is getting graphic.
So you can find This Is Getting Graphic on your podcatcher of choice. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. You can find us just about anywhere. You can also find us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram under This Is Getting Graphic. And we're on Twitter /X/ whatever it is this week on This Graphic Pod.
And you can also find a lot of our stuff over on our TikTok, also at This Is Getting Graphic. I'm particularly proud of our TikTok. I like to consider it kind of our best of gallery of jokes from across a couple episodes that have really made us laugh. Just split up into like 30 to a minute and a half long clips. So that's a great way we like to make to reach out to people, give them a little snippet of what we do, and hopefully that draws them to listen to the full episodes.
Perfect. Nice. Yeah, we'll be following you guys on all those socials.
Yeah,
and yeah.
Thank you.
I got my night set. I listened to all these episodes that you were telling us about earlier on.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
fun.
I will warn, since this is a PG, show. On our show, we do occasionally use some colorful language. But other than that, we're pretty open when it comes to like graphic novels and stuff.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah, awesome.
All right, now let's take a hairbreadth escape
from
classic Marvel Star Wars comics issue, Star Wars Annual issue number 2.
Yay. With and everyone say goodbye with a forp.
Forp.
Forp. Forp.
That wraps up episode 471 of
Skywalking Through Neverland.
We want to thank Andrew Kilpatrick and Phil Oberholzer. Don't forget to check out their podcast, This Is Getting Graphic. And thank you to all the Skywalkers who listen every week and watch every week. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel to get notified when we go live.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, our YouTube subscribers went down a couple. How? Why? Why would that happen? I don't know. So we need to get back up there to where we first started at 8930. Right now we're at 8925. So what do you say by next week, Skywalkers? What do you say?
8930. Come on. Ooh, and do you have things you want to share? Well, we do. So join us every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific on YouTube, because that's when we do our live show where we share things we've done the past week or update you on live appearances. And we also invite you Skywalkers to come on and share something you've done or something you've just added to your collection. This week is going to be very special. So things we want to share on Monday, July 1st, we will be live from Downtown Disney. This is hoping that, you know, the Wi-Fi and everything cooperates. Mm-hmm. But Rob Dellinger, our John Williams of podcasting and our podcast composer, will be playing with his Alpha Rhythm Kings on the Downtown Disney stage. And we're going to live stream his show.
This only really, right now really only applies to the people in the Sky Chat. Yeah. Because when this episode goes out, it'll be 3 days later.
It's true. But you can always look back on our YouTube channel and that stream will be there.
I am so looking forward to this.
Yes.
A remote segment, a remote show of things we want to share.
Yeah, remote segment. I like that. That's awesome.
All right. Now, speaking of awesome, are you interested in our books? Are you interested in learning more about Star Wars history? Well, autographed copies of Today in Star Wars History Part 1 and 2 and Skywalking Through My Fandom are now available at skywalkingthroughneverland.com/book. And we want to thank those who came out to see us at Carlsbad last week and got some copies.
Carlsbad Library, yes. And all these books will be available at San Diego Comic-Con, which we will be there. And most likely, the Star Wars Day is technically Friday of San Diego Comic-Con. And we have two panels that we're doing, most likely on that Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comic-Con doesn't want us giving out the days and times just yet, but you know what? I think the Skywalkers can do the math.
Yeah.
And for those of you not going to Comic-Con, you can see us at the Scum and Villainy event that the Virtual Cantina is holding on July
29th.
And then on July 30th, we'll be at the Anaheim location at the Biggs Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
Also with the Virtual Cantina tour. So Spencer was gracious enough to save us a spot on both of those dates.
Yeah, and we'll also be joining them at Disneyland on one of those days as well. I forget which day, but yeah, it's all there on that awesome event that they're doing, the family vacation. All right, well, would you like to support Skywalking Through Neverland like our Skywalking Force, like Jennifer Cole? Well, you can consider supporting us through the Skywalking Force, which is our Patreon. And you guys have access to bonus content in the form of our Zoom discussions on past Disney Plus shows. You'll also get a coupon code to use for our books. And when the holidays come around, we also send out special things in the mail to you. Plus, you get shout-outs every month on our show. Now, this bonus content begins at only $5 a month, so you can head to skywalkingforce.com, have a look at the options available, and thank you from the bottom of our hearts so much to those of you who are already part of the Skywalking Force.
Now, we also want to thank our sponsors, Small World Vacations, for their support. Thinking of a trip to a Disney park or on a Disney cruise? We can fill out a get a quote form from smallworldvacations.com today. Their vacation planning service is free of charge, so check it out and tell them Skywalking Through Neverland sent you.
Now we are part, get ready Skywalkers, we are part of the Skywalking Network. Where you can also find other great shows like Talking Apes,
the Max Effects Podcast,
the Neverland Clubhouse,
Totally Tell Me Everything,
Star Wars Ologies,
and the YouTube shows Collectopolis and
Today in Star Wars History. Now, I do want to mention that Star Wars Ologies will also be doing at least one panel on the science of something at San Diego Comic-Con as well. So Melissa and James will be there. And I believe they're also hosting a fun event on Saturday as well, like a mixer. So head to Star Wars Ologies on Instagram or on Facebook for those details.
Nice.
All right, you can find us on social media. We are at Skywalking Pod for X and Instagram and Threads. Let me change that right here. Also, we have our Facebook group and YouTube. So just search Skywalking Through Neverland for Facebook and YouTube. You can also email us, share@skywalkingthroughneverland.com.
Now, don't forget to stick around for bloopers and other fun bits that didn't make it into the show.
And always remember
to save a place in your heart for Jennifer Cole.
And
Neverland on Alderaan.
Some imagination, huh?
To our Skywalkers and Tweetwalkers, thanks for listening. Skywalking Through Neverland is created and produced by Richard and Sarah Wolosky. Original music by Rob Dellinger. Creative consultant, Mark Augushowitz. Technical advisor, Peter Heitman. Facebook administrators, Donald Wicks, Joey Pittman, and Norma Heitman.
Skywalking Through Neverland is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Any sounds, music, and clips played during this podcast are the property of their copyright holders. All original content is property of Skywalking Through Neverland, all rights reserved. Sorry, had to be said. Okay, here we go.
4th of July sparkling clappy claps.
They'll be like fireworks. Ready?
Ow!
Doesn't that put you in the mind of fireworks?
No, it rings in my ears. This... All right, guys. So, off stage.
And
that was going to be my question. In between those two movies, isn't Han like a rock?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Is it 39 pages of him just...
Of him like... Every once in a while, we'll just cut back to you, Han. Han, what do you think?
Good now, take, Han.
Now, this
at some point, Jabba's just like, please stop looking at him and shoves the camera away.
Shazam. Not, what is it? Shazak.
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 God, what was it? It's like S-C-H Shlazat? Was it something like that?
Something close to that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. Okay.
All right. And we're out.
Here is the Hey Hey Magnet. Oh, it's so cute.